I've got a fresh bowl of chips through which to time you guys and myself on things.
Okay, so we're on the chip standard again?
Yep. Like, hey, who was the leader of the Zone Autobots? Oh, no one got it. Let's move on. Like, that's the metric, I think.
Okay.
Got it.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to WTF at TFW, brought to you by LEGO. With me today is Aaron.
Yes, more LEGO. Always
showing
better.
Me five-minute videos about LEGO haunted houses.
Was it worth the 5 minutes?
It was worth the 5 minutes, but I'm still not going to buy it. You can't get me that easy. You cannot get me that easy. Not with LEGO.
We'll have to ease it in and then hit you hard.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think I have till the Star Destroyer?
Oh, it'll be a bit. That's a big boy.
Mm-hmm.
Only big boys can play with that toy.
Also with us today is Big Boy Omegas Prime.
I don't know what you people are thinking with the LEGO.
Fun, probably.
Yeah, fun, enjoyment, happiness. Things that are probably difficult to understand.
Besides those, I will admit the LEGO has actually been interesting to watch these days. Not that I intend to add yet another drain on my finances.
No, it's not that much of a drain.
Yeah, it is. Have you seen the price of LEGO lately?
Yes, I have.
I'm just saying. We got to be honest here.
Wait till what we got.
I don't want to mislead any listeners. That's why I didn't buy any LEGO. I saw some LEGO. I was just hanging out. I was on a mandate with Chris, the GM fan 101. I saw some LEGO, and we even saw the Shelob box. Saw some Monster Force Hunter Rider boxes, and I thought lots of it looked cool until the Monster Dragster hearse was like $45, and I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Except the box it comes in is the same size as a $25 Halo Mega Blocks with like 15 guys in it. I was like, hell no. That's the only hurdle I got. Especially whenever I see those Halo Mega Blocks right next to it and I see how much they come with, I'm like, I can't do this in good conscience. I don't know. We'll see how the LEGO journey continues. But we are here today to talk to you about Transformers, which are not related to LEGO. They're related to Creo, another building block line. This has nothing to do with Creo, but we're going to talk to you about a trademark acquisition application, something, something. Hasbro applied for a new trademark, and it is called, quote-unquote, Combiners, categorized under the same description of any other Transformers trademark, that being, quote, toy action figures, toy vehicles, and toy robots convertible into other visual toy forms, end quote. So this is how we found out about Arachnid, like, over 3 years before we knew who Arachnid was and, you know, that her toy came out and whatnot. So this might not lead to anything anytime soon, but I think it's interesting because this is in light of things like Power Core Combiners and more specifically in light of the Fall of Cybertron Bruticus. I wonder if the feedback already received on Bruticus has led Hasbro to want to preemptively prepare to maybe do some more Combiners down the road. I don't know. So there's not much to talk about here other than just like a little bit of speculation, but I thought it was interesting. Aaron, what do you think about this?
Actually, I'm kind of surprised that Combiners as a term in and of itself was trademarkable.
Yeah.
I think that's something that would be generic enough that they'd have to go for, like, I mean, because they called it Power Links before, you know.
Well, I'm thinking about it, and we're so used to the word Combiner being in our nomenclature that it feels like it's just a regular Joe word, but when I consider it, I'm like, does anyone else use the word on an official level?
Yeah, I guess that's true. If they can show, hey, you know, lean back to G1 days of, we had Combiners then as proof that they've been using it, but still, it still amazes me.
Hmm. Well,
you got to remember, they've even trademarked Triple Changer before.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Omegas, how do you feel about this trademark acquisition?
This is the kind of thing I really like. I love the speculation behind it. Mm-hmm. Everyone getting different ideas into their head. Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool if this was something huge, if they were, like, just trademarking this because of the potential of doing combiners more often.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, it might just be what they stamp onto the package for the Bruticus set.
Could be.
I wouldn't think at this point in time they'd just be picking it up. I think that it's something that they would already have had resident for a while. Because if it's this late in the game, you run the risk of it not happening, and then what do you do?
Maybe they had a whole bunch of stickers ready to go, like with Spastic.
That could be.
Combinders. Oh, God, I hate that term. You know what makes me happy about this being trademarked? Maybe we'll see an end to the misspelling that is combinders, and maybe we'll see an end to the use of gestalt where everyone pronounces it wrong. I like the word combiner a lot more than gestalt, because gestalt is often mispronounced as gestalt, and that makes me, like, grind my teeth, because it's wrong. So, I like combiner, and I hope that we can see this flourish as a new piece of the lexicon, and have it wipe out older, uglier words.
Archaic terms?
That's another term for it, I suppose, yeah. I very specifically want to point out ugly words, because combinder. I remember there was very briefly a push that we should call them combinders, and I always sat there staring at the word, thinking, like, this feels like the evolution of mind-mushing sort of terminology. I don't like erroneous consonants. They bother me. So, that's all we really got on this. Anything beyond this is like, this level of speculation is kind of like, you know, firing a BB gun into a tornado. So, yeah. I just wanted to touch on this because that way we'll have this in a topic list so we can look back and figure out what episode we were talking about it whenever the fruition comes about. Then we can get the historians out there to start telling us what we said, and we can start, you know, elaborating to each other about our new thoughts on blah, 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 blah. So let's talk about stuff that has concrete grounded proof of existence. Let's talk about new picture picks. Aaron, I want to see a picture that you want to talk about.
I'm going to talk about another denial.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
There was the rumor that was out there that there was going to be a United Art Fire.
Yeah.
To go up against the Million Publishing Art Fire, and it has been thoroughly smacked down.
Quite viciously, in fact.
Yes. Million said something. Takara Tomy said stuff. It's not happening. So everybody that abandoned their pre-orders with middlemen or whoever... sorry.
Get on back on that.
Yeah. I was nervous, but thought I would keep my my pre-order in place. And I won?
Well, did you win, though? Because how much is your pre-order for?
I'm having to pay for both the toy and the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because the middleman already had another person before me. So it's still going to be 100 or so, but...
Hmm.
But still, I'll also get the book, so...
Yeah, I suppose.
I'll have a magazine I have no idea what to do with.
I was hemming and hawing on actually making that an item in the topic list till I realized I don't think we ever really talked about the art fire at length, or the idea that there's going to be another art fire, so I figured, I'll just leave it alone.
It kind of skipped around, but I think it's worth a mention, so I'm using my one vote as that, because
look,
everything else is kind of, it's images of stuff that we've seen slightly different images of, and galleries of stuff we've seen galleries of. So.
Making the ultimate sacrifice, this guy.
It's what I do for my people.
Oh. Well, Omegas, what kind of sacrifice are you going to make?
Well, I think with a topic coming up later in this podcast, I think it is prudent to bring up the Arms Micron Breakdown Gallery.
Yeah, that showed up... That took me by surprise, because for some reason I was sure that we would first see that toy out of one of the more, like, commonly visited Japanese toy sites, like the guys who do photo blogs as, like, a living.
Right.
And that came out of a message board, didn't it?
A Facebook group out of Singapore.
Yeah, that took me by surprise. It was really cool, though, because the thing, I mean, I'm sure you're going to elaborate, it looks kind of neat.
Yeah, it actually looks quite good. I don't see a lot of the problems that people have visually with, say, the mainline Bulkhead. Mm-hmm. He seems to have much better use of kibble. It hides away a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a very clean-looking robot and very brick vehicle mode. Yeah. And I am thoroughly digging the design on this toy.
Well, have you seen the TV show?
I've heard of it. Keep putting it off, though.
He lines up to the TV show pretty well.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Aaron, look at that head sculpt with the paint apps on it. That is really, 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 really good.
Yeah. I'm impressed, even down to the hammer.
Yeah.
Oh, the Rhino hammer is cool, too.
I like that the stickers at least pull some of Breakdown's colors back into it.
Mm-hmm.
To give the idea that it is his hammer and not a rhinoceros he's grabbing.
And then bonking people with. That'd be a very different television show.
Yes, it would be.
I am very impressed with the way this guy looks. I mean, I can see obviously where the stickers are. His silver kneecaps are clearly, you know, silver paper stuck to his knees. So far, we've not really seen much about how this mold's going to be treated when he doesn't come with a Micron, so I'm curious if he has, like, space on him somewhere for his cannon to go. I can already see, like, a mounting point on his right shoulder that looks like it would be for a Power Lynx cannon weapon to plug in. He's got...
Yeah, it looks over his shoulder like he has... He's got two behind his head and then one up on his back and then also a 3mm clip.
About to bring up that clip, yeah. There's, like, a lot of parts of him that look like they work with future weapon accessories that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah. He also has one on the hood of his truck.
Hmm.
And none of those look like the glue-on ports. The glue-on ports look like they're on the front of the truck mode, like on the front sides of it, but even those don't look obtrusive like his partner's does.
Yeah. So there's a lot of curious stuff about this guy. Of course, you know, if this version of this guy comes out in America, we also will have the question of paint apps. Will his hubcaps be painted, etc.? Like, I'm looking at his vehicle mode, and I can tell, like, right away I'm probably going to paint his hubcaps silver, because it's a real easy fix to add in.
Yeah.
I think this looks great. Omegas, are you considering picking up Breakdown?
Given recent events that we have yet to talk about, yeah, kind of am.
Mm-hmm.
If only because I'm really digging his Micron hammer way more than any type of mech tech weapon they would give him.
Yeah, I don't dislike the Prid Voyagers, but none of their mech tech weapons have been stellar to me. They've either been kind of bad or okay, but I wish it wasn't a mech tech weapon.
Yeah.
Well, they at least did like what the Voyagers do and lock in place.
Right.
I think it'd be a whole lot better off.
Yeah, or like what the Dark of the Moon Voyagers did.
Yeah.
The Prid Voyagers don't, and that's a big problem to me.
Yeah, especially when they're folded up a lot of times, especially you look at Starscream, and I can't even tell what it's supposed to be when it's folded up.
Look at Bulkheads when it's folded up. It's just like this giant chunk of green.
Yeah.
I mean, it spins, and I like that, but man... yeah, we're going to talk about Prime Voyager toys in a little bit more in depth later on in the show, so we should probably move on to my own new pick, which is the return of Alternity again. We're going to be getting Alternity Megatron and Starscream, or Alternity Megatron and the Questor mold, redecoed. Megatron is going to be redecoed as Galvatron, and the Questor is going to be redecoed as friggin' Banzaitron. Now, I am kind of tempted by these two. Except that they are Toy Hobby Market exclusives, which means that there's probably no way to get them cheaper than the listed price of, what is it, just shy of 6,000 yen? Oh, no, just shy of 7,000 yen. Yeah. Okay, so they're going to be about $100 each, if you just round it up and imagine shipping and whatnot. And that's a bummer, because I actually like the way these look. The Galvatron, I like that they worked in the orange here and there, and I think that the purple looks completely gorgeous. These guys don't have new heads, and I'm already over that. Just the colors alone, I think, are really doing it for me on Galvatron.
It's not Banzaitron that's making you go gaga?
No, I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm covering one at a time.
I was worried.
Galvatron first, because even if he's not really Galvatron, that mold in metallic purple will look good. So I'm all about that. Now, Banzaitron looks awesome, because number one, they got his colors right. Number two, they really pulled off his face, given that they're using one of the Questor heads. Like, it really, to me, at a glance makes me think Banzaitron, even though, like, I'm sure if I hold it side by side, there'll be, like, more discrepancies. But just at a glance, this Banzaitron looks very Banzaitron. And the other thing that I really like about Banzaitron is that he's a black version of the Questor mold, which is new. So that's another color scheme we're going to be getting that mold hadn't been done in yet. And then thirdly, fiction-wise, this would be the aggregate of all Banzaitrons. And I like the idea of that, because we've only ever known two. So yeah. I like the idea that there are, like, these hundreds of other myriad parallel Banzaitrons out there that have aggregated into this being. And, like, maybe his special power is just, like, I don't know, nobody knows who he is. So anything he does, like, phases through people, because everyone's like, who's Banzaitron? So he's got, you know, maybe the most useless alternative power of them all. But I hope these guys have fiction. I hope these guys do not prove to be a pain to get a hold of. I am really hoping that they are mass market enough to maybe track down for less than 7,000 yen down the road. Because I would like to own both of these. Very much. I like both these molds, and I love these colors. Are either of you guys considering the Toy Hobby Market exclusive alternatives?
Oh, that Banzaitron looks great, but I'm for the price, no.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do like this thing Banzaitron does of having a completely black car mode and then just exploding in color.
Yeah, it's a really cool reveal. And I like
it's
how
it's a $100 reveal though.
I like how his wings look like bat wings now.
Right.
He's so close to being Batman.
Yeah, it's such a bummer that these are going to be so expensive. Because, I mean, alternatives already were really hard to justify at their retail prices. That's why, generally, I've found a lot of people who enjoy alternatives, myself included, were ones who waited to get them on sale for stuff closer to, like, 3,000 to 4,000 yen.
Yeah.
And, it sucks. Like, those other alternatives that came out, like the Goldbug and the Diatlas, whatever, they're all right. These two, I think, pull off the recoloring thing a lot better than those other guys did. Because somehow these ones make it work with the reused heads, whereas even Goldbug, I felt, didn't make it work. So, I'm going to keep an eye out. Hopefully they flood the market and are ignored so I can go on Mandarake and get them for like 4,000 yen next year. We'll see. That's not really a nice thing to say about a toy, because it also implies that it would be a failure and thus wouldn't happen again.
I hope other people buy this toy, don't like it, and then let me have it cheaper.
I hope I can get this used.
Yeah. Oh, these were... Sorry, I'm just catching on the front page. These were among the ones that were announced way back alongside Diatlas and Goldbug. Yeah. These two turned out better, I think. I'm glad that these made their way out, because it's kind of... Actually, it kind of sucks that those other two got to jump the gun on these guys, because the other two, I thought, kind of sucked compared to these. Mm-hmm. I mean, Diatlas is okay, but these are way more interesting. Anyway, they're out in September, 7,000 yen. If you have money to completely burn and you want to spend more than you would buying Masterpiece Sideswipe, then go for them, I guess. Probably shouldn't.
You sound so definitive.
I mean, I'm just trying to lay out the facts here. The FAX, the facts. Anyway, those are some new picks. Let's talk about these Prime Voyagers. I want to talk about these. These are exciting. Want to just go down the list?
Sure.
Please.
Alrighty. First up, let us talk about Ultra Magnus. This guy is a toy that we only really knew existed a few weeks ago through Japan, and now through Malaysia? Yeah, through the Hasbro Malaysia catalog. Now we have more clear images of this Ultra Magnus. He's got a glowing hammer thing that looks like it's also a gun. I hope that it can stay looking like a hammer without having to hold a button down. His vehicle mode looks okay. Looks cool. His robo mode looks okay. Looks cool. Generally, he just looks like a neat figure. I think I'm just going to pick him up because he looks like he has a nice silhouette. Nothing really remarkable to me about him, but I think he looks cool. He looks satisfying. Omegas, how are you feeling about Ultra Magnus?
Freaking loving him so far. I really liked some pictures that aren't so grainy, but I really like this animated-esque Prime design that they've got going on here with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really like how they use the hammer. I like that he's kind of taken over the flatbed or in the flatbed, flat nose truck style.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool that, like, when you think about it, they're kind of passing that down to Ultra Magnus.
Yeah.
It's just this nice little amalgamation of various designs.
Mm-hmm.
Quite eager to get them.
And clear windshields, too. I just noticed that. It looks like clear windshields. So it should have some nice aesthetics. Aaron, how are you feeling about Ultra Magnus?
I really like him. I mean, it lines up with the... because we already had seen Cyberverse Ultra Magnus a while ago. So.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, it looks like that whole front end ends up on his back because he goes from being it's quite a transformation.
Hmm.
He goes from being kind of blocky to being very, I don't know if lanky is quite right, but
yeah.
Long-limbed.
Fit.
And his robot.
He's a good
mode,
runner.
So, yeah.
It looks like he does the sort of animated-esque thing of at least the bottom chunk of the front of the cab turns into his shoulder pads.
Yeah.
You can see the wheels up there.
The wheels and the maybe lights and something beside the grill. But, yeah, I'm really impressed.
Mm-hmm. I just hope his backpack isn't too crazy. Because, I mean, that it would be a bummer to have that throwing off what otherwise looks like a really nice, clean design.
Yeah.
I got hopes. So Ultra Magnus, yeah, we've seen the Cyberverse before, and I remember the big question was, like, is that all he's getting? Is he just, like, you know, going to be adapted out of the game in a way? But it looks like, no, he's Voyager material, which also makes me think he's totally going to show up in the show. I'm really sure if he's getting two toys.
Yeah.
Moving on, let's talk about Thundertron. This guy's from a book I haven't read, so I don't know crap about him.
He barely shows up in a book.
Okay, he's a pirate. That's what I understand. He's the leader of the pirate faction, which I've seen people expressing confusion at. Here's the thing. Cannonball laid down the groundwork for a pirate faction back in the Cybertron line. So I don't know if this is like exactly the same. I heard Cannonball is still a name that's bouncing around in this part of the fiction. But, you know, this does actually have slight basis. This isn't really coming out of left field. I kind of like seeing the pirates come back because... I like the idea of it. I remember I was sitting there and I was like, man, I like this Cannonball toy. I really hope they can do up like this whole crew for him. And they never really did. So, we saw this at BotCon, but this is the first time we're getting a good clear look at it in full color, I believe. Unless it was in color at BotCon and I just couldn't tell because we were sitting astride the screen.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But the main thing to point out here is the dude can have a peg leg. I believe at BotCon they said that the peg leg thing is... something that you can, like, just sort of attach... You can basically transform a leg into a peg leg. You don't have to leave him permanently peg-legged. And whatever leg you take off turns into a snap-on claw. Gog pointed out something interesting about his arms, which is that if you take a look, it looks as though his lion hands turn into his shoulders, and his mm-hmm. lion shoulders turn into his hands. And that's kind of mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah.
He's also got this cool, like, buccaneer look, but aside from the peg leg, the shoulder claws look kind of like epaulets. He looks like he's got, like, a kind of long coattail motif. So I think he looks interesting. I'm curious if this means he's going to show up in Prime. I can see a bit of his pirate faction symbol there in the top right of the picture. I think it's interesting. I mean, we were just talking about third factions in 205, and I'm always happy to see a figure that comes out that not only fictionally is... kind of separated from Autobots and Decepticons, but has his own faction symbol. I like that idea. So, even though I find his lion mode a little bit boring, I love his robot mode, and I love the idea of a third faction of pirates. So I'm kind of digging it. Aaron, how are you feeling about Mr. Thundertron?
I do like the third faction idea. As little as they show up in the book, it's not like you're missing out on anything. I hope that we actually see something in the show to validate it rather than just be, hey, here's this other kind of wacky, crazy thing. Because then it would almost feel like, you know, would this be better suited, would this, air quotes, toy slot be better suited for something appropriate than this idea? He looks neat. I'll give him that. But he's got to earn it.
And Omegas, how are you feeling about Thundertron?
I am seriously digging the design on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the fact that they are actually daring to do a Beast Former again, especially at the Voyager size.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, really into his design in both modes. I do like that they're doing the Pyre faction again, because that kind of makes sense in a Transformer universe. The Starseeker faction name kind of throws me.
It works, but it
sounds like something Starscream would name his army.
I didn't catch that he was called a Starseeker.
I think that's the name of the faction.
Yeah, that's the faction name.
Oh, there we go. I missed that in the news post. Ha! That's an interesting faction name, I guess.
Yeah, it sounds like an 80s cartoon, you know, Thundertron and the Star Seekers.
It sounds like we got to get some Shuki Levy music going.
Exactly.
And just kind of like rock this house. I think this is an interesting development. I hope that he's not the only Star Seeker toy. I want to see at least two more, just so we can have a nice trio on a shelf. And yeah, I agree with you. Having a Beast Former nowadays, it's a lot of people looked at him and immediately went like, that guy reminds me of Leo Breaker. So, no. Well, I mean, you know, he turns into a quadruped.
In fact, he turns into a quadruped. Yes, he reminds you of Leo Breaker.
Who knows? Maybe he transforms like Leo Breaker with like parts coming off and stuff. And
shoulders that almost work.
Yeah, almost working shoulders. He turns into a, you know, thing that once upon a time was going to look like a giant fist.
Once upon a time.
Yeah, in a design picture.
Maybe.
Looked great in the design picture, let me tell you. Moving on from him, now we've got Dreadwing, who we'd already seen before, but, you know, nice to get some confirmation on what is ostensibly a pretty cool design. And I'm glad to see, like, you know, I'm glad to see that we're going to get, even though his gun doesn't look perfect, at least it resembles the gun from the show, and he's going to have his sword. So it looks like he's going to have enough stuff there, and hopefully we can get like a third-party cannon made for him that's way more show-accurate. That seems to be the third-party thing for Prime Toys now, is give us the show-accurate weapons. That's what I'd like to see out of dudes like Dr. Wu and stuff, as he clearly is working on. But the shock reveal is that, at least in Malaysia, they're going to also be doing his twin and very less active brother, Skyquake, who comes with different weapons. His gun muzzle looks a bit different, which is, as I understand it, to be, you know, somewhat show accurate. I think that's a great idea. I really was hoping we would get a Skyquake that wouldn't be too hard to get, because I want to have these guys back to back, even though it didn't happen in the show. I just want to see what they'd look like, you know, standing side by side. So we knew about Dreadwing, but holy crap, Skyquake. Omegas, as an avid watcher of Transformers Prime.
is this mocking because I'm not on those prime times anymore?
I'm following with Aaron's example here. As an avid watcher of Transformers Prime, a show you might have heard of.
I have seen it, you know.
What?
I was on the episode when we talked. I was on the show we talked about Skyquake.
Well, we only started doing Prime Time recently. We were covering that four-parter.
What? It's a,
oh, you're one of those other dimensional Omegas Primes.
Don't tell anyone. The other one's still in Tampa.
I saw Jet Li's The One at my high school graduation. True story.
What did you do to deserve that?
I chose to.
This is not how you celebrate graduation.
I didn't mind. I mean, I fell asleep halfway through, but I didn't mind it.
Skyquake looks cool.
Yeah.
I'm quite surprised that a one-episode character gets a toy in the first place, so that's quite awesome.
Well,
one and a half, let's say.
We've had a one-episode character get a toy, too, already.
Yeah.
Well, okay. One is not voiced by The Rock. How about that?
Okay. I'll give you that. I wonder if, you know, I don't want to drop any Season 2 spoilers at all, just in case we got people waiting for DVDs, but I wonder if eventually we're going to have people making the prime shelf of dead characters, given that we're building numbers on... Hey, I think it's great, though. I am excited. Aaron, are you excited?
Yeah, I don't know how hard I'll be double-dipping on Voyager-sized dudes, but... Yeah, it's nice. The jet mode looks good. I prefer the clunkier jet look to that of Starscream. So, I don't know why, but the Voyager Starscream or Weaponizer Starscream out of this line does not quite get it aesthetically for me. But these two do, even though I figure they'll probably be shorter than what they should be. For scale, oh my gosh.
What's nice is you can use Skyquake in alt mode as Fowler if you want to.
Yeah.
Along with Arachnid and, I guess, Starscream to a degree. Well, not Starscream entirely, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the photos we got, but another news item out of this, as we touched on earlier, is the absence of Breakdown. Now, Breakdown's toy release is really weird to me, because... through Japan, we kind of have it confirmed that Japan is getting, like, three versions of the toy. They're getting Breakdown, they're getting Swerve, and they're getting the other one, whose name I don't really want to say on the show. Because it is a bit of a spoiler. So, I'm curious, like, he's getting three Arms Micron releases. So, we're probably going to get one of them. But yeah. I honestly don't know which one we're going to get now.
There are a lot of people talking that it might be the reason why we've not seen anything yet and why Hasbro was dodgy about it at BotCon was that there potentially toy safety issue on him. I don't know what it'd be. I'd be pretty sure that at this point they know what's going on with how to make toys that'll pass safety laws. I wonder if the reason why everything's been held up is just because it's wave five that is the slot that he got. And while it's kind of late for a main character, well, things have happened. So,
yeah.
So maybe that reason is the purpose behind everything to talk around potential spoilers. If people are that far behind on the show, catch up on the show, people. But I don't know. I really have a hard time seeing a character that had as much play as he did not make it into the main line, but then again, sometimes toys just don't make it out in the U.S.
I think another reason is probably how strong of a Decepticon presence is in the Voyagers right now, and they might be trying to pace that out a little bit better.
I suppose.
That's true, too.
Like, try to make it a little bit more balanced. Apologies if you're getting frustrated by our skirting around spoilers, but, you know, it's... To be honest, the spoiler we're skirting around hasn't happened in the show yet, so it's even that level of a spoiler, and I got spoiled about it because of that toy listing. But a bit less of a spoiler is that one of those other versions of him apparently is confirmed to have a different head sculpt with an eye patch, which is something that happened in season one. So the parts are all there. We're going to get the toy somehow. It's more so a question of which head and which colors. And whoever the hell Swerve is. Like, if that's a toy-only thing, like Skywarp in Arms Micron, or is that something else that we've been inadvertently told about before it's supposed to happen? So, I wouldn't worry about the Breakdown toy coming out. I would just worry about if you really want to have him looking like he did in the first half of the first season, maybe you'll want to consider the Arms Micron one. So we got a dump of news out of Malaysia there.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm looking at the front page, like, these are just, like, not even full-page scans. These are, like, photos of parts of pages. I want to see the rest of this catalog.
Yeah, I think that's also part of what makes us a little bit frustrating, is because you're trying to see what's going on and not able to.
Yeah.
And that's why it looks all nasty and fuzzy, because it's close-ups on things that have been printed out.
Yeah. I don't know. I just want to know if, like, there are, like, maybe if they turn the page, there's a photo of Breakdown. But they're not turning the page. Also, the bios are on here, I should mention. Thundertron's bio being, of course, very interesting to folks who have not read the book like myself, or probably even to folks who did read the book. But he is out for revenge, apparently, against Cybertron. So, I'm interested to see how that turns out. Maybe that's a season 3 plot. Who knows? We still have, like, a third or a quarter of season 2 left to go?
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole bunch of Prime toy talk and news. So I hope you guys who are collecting the line are having a good time with it. I am. I don't know. I mean, as a little end cap to this, how are you guys feeling about the Prime line so far? I'm kind of enjoying it.
I'm digging it. I've actually was super excited because first thing this morning I woke up to a shipping notice that I've got two Arms Micron Viacons and Breakdown coming to me.
Ooh, who from?
Robot Kingdom.
Congratulations.
And they were still pretty inexpensive, and then I was doing math, and then I'm going to be out of town when they show up.
Oh.
Ouch.
Are you, wait, out of town for TFCon when they show up?
No, just out of town. I'm going on vacation around the 4th of July.
That's some long-ass shipping.
Yeah. Well, if it shipped last night, this morning, I'm leaving Monday.
Ah.
And I'm not going to be back until the weekend, so it'll be... There'll be somebody here to pick it up.
And Omegas, how you having? How are you having with Prime? That's a weird statement. How are you having?
I am having well.
Oh.
You have am good.
I are good. You are how? What? I'm actually kind of mixed feelings about the Prime line right now because it does seem to have a lot more ups and downs than I was expecting it to.
Hmm.
You know, because someone mentioned on Twitter, I've been getting a lot of messages lately just about Arachnid especially,
mm-hmm.
which is the low side of the line. And
that's a down.
That's a down. And I know a lot of people harp on Bumblebee, which is okay, but it's just that automorph one click off.
I mean, Bumblebee is questionable. Arachnid is...
Bumblebee is questionable and fixable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then there's things like, okay, and I will confess there's things like I'm not a fan of the Voyager Prime with no red on the chest. I'm not a fan of the bulkhead.
Mm.
That might be the first edition clouding my judgment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just I don't know. It's kind of bipolar as lines go for me so far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of there with you as far as the bipolar thing of it. Cause, I mean, as a metaphor for the line, because I mean, you have the ups and downs in this line are still going on. Like, I my favorite example being like wave three, every wave up until wave four had a superstar, but wave four's got Arachnid. She ain't no superstar.
No,
ever.
No.
But on the bright side, there is apparently a very cool new version of the Wheeljack mold in form of Dead End. And Wheeljack was one of the stars of Wave 1, so at least he's there to like back her up. But
yeah,
I watched two videos, looked at three photo galleries of Arachnid, just trying to see if maybe there was something that everyone's missing. I'm staring at that toy, just going like that toy would have been junk in 06, let alone now.
Yeah,
like I can't believe that someone designed that, and I want it to turn out to be the guy who designed the Prid Viacon. Because that would be fantastic. That would just make the world crash and fall.
That was like,
well, you got to balance it out.
Yeah, yeah, it's an alchemy thing. Fair exchange.
Yeah.
I think one thing it's a little hard for me to get to stay excited about the line when okay, aside from the fact it's next to impossible to find a Viacon, especially around here. I think one thing that really gets me about the line is now is when Hasbro decided to not only shrink the toys, but raise the price. And as those two get a little farther apart, I start to look for that quality, and then you get things like Arachnid, which
I don't think that individual toy quality has a lot to do with that. That's the ups and downs. You always get the really good toy in a line, and you always get the how the heck did this make it through toy in the line.
Well, and
as much as it would be convenient to say one over the other, it's a fact. Just this toy was not a hit where others have been. The price and size increase, we've known about it. They've talked about it the last four or five BotCons, and I mean, I assume that they're still putting people on the design teams at both Hasbro and Takara. So it's no great conspiracy. It's just a bad toy. And
oh yeah,
yeah, it costs more now.
And she's got a chair for the back of her head. But I'm going to leave that to the member of this podcast who actually bought the toy, who will be here next week, presumably with lots to say. moving on from there, how would you guys like to do a listener question that does not have anything to do with Arachnid?
Sure.
Conceivably. Mm-hmm. I'm going to probably... This is going to end up having something to do with Arachnid. We have a listener question from Stomoman from YouTube. He says, quote, "Hello, everyone at WTF at TFW. I have a hypothetical situation for you. You are now in charge of a third-party Transformers company. You're allowed to make any one thing you want. So it's going to be like the shortest-lived third-party company. Either an update of an old toy, or an add-on for an existing toy, or whatever your mind can concoct as long as it's Transformer-related, so we don't get to pull a fans project. My questions are these. What one thing would you make and sell to the public? What would you call it? What would your company be called? There are limitations. You can't use the name of an existing Transformer toy, and you have to stay within a reasonable size. No one-to-one scale Unicrons. Sorry, them's the arbitrary rules. Stoma Man would make a War for Cybertron Slipstream and call it Andromeda. If we're reading this after a Slipstream toy may have been announced, he'll change his answer to... after a Slipstream for the video game would have been announced, he'll change his answer to Animated Slipstream. The Fembot needs some love. His company would be called Jam Toys for no real reason. It goes on to say, I look forward to hearing your answer in a few years. Here's hoping most of you survived the apocalypse. We did! The apocalypse's name was Arachnid. So, Omegas, you're in charge of a third-party company. What's your company called?
Oh, jeez.
It's an odd name.
Got this new hot release from Jeez. Spelt with an I. A bunch of I's in a row and a Z.
That's the one thing I've never been good at is naming anything.
You'd fit right in with third-party companies. Am I right? But
yeah. I'd literally name it third-party company.
That would be okay.
Why not?
Okay, the hot new release from third-party company. What would it be?
There's always been this little pet project in my head, and I was kind of upset that I can't even say at their height, but it's something Impossible Toys should have done because it was in line with what they wanted. I wanted to take the Robot Heroes, your little mini PVC guys, and I wanted to have like play sets for them. Like I wanted a Quintesson chamber for the Sharktacons and Rodimus. Mm-hmm. You get your little like purple translucent bowl in the middle, you can spin around on the side, you get little jail cells, you get the little trap door bridge in front of your mini Quintessons. Or as a third party company would call them, Five Faces.
So you'd have your Five Face Judgmental Chamber.
It's the Chamber of Judgment, I call the whole thing.
Sorry. Didn't mean to be presumptuous.
Get it right.
So, your release from third-party company would be the Five-Face Chamber of Judgment.
Yeah, let's call it that.
And
that'll
scaled,
come up on Google.
Scaled for Robot Masters.
Robot Heroes.
Robot Heroes. That's right.
Get my idea right. This is my dream, damn it.
I was just thinking about R-Blade. I'm distracted. All right. I like that idea. I think that playsets and vehicles for Robot Heroes would be a cool thing. Because that was something that I think was... It wasn't said, but it was like way back in the day when we were first asking him about where playsets could maybe return. I believe it was said that, you know, smaller scale stuff like Robot Heroes or Legends would be the place to do it. So
I think a lot of the Robot Hero things that we heard about were... never really came to pass, like larger scale ones for Devastator or Unicron.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good idea for that. And then they did Movie Devastator. Kind of blew it.
Robot Heroes kind of, I think it kind of just got cut short for its time.
Yeah, because there's, what, 8 unreleased?
Well, you know, they're acquirable if you have enough, green.
I wanted that... Yeah, but there were still that we didn't even get.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, there we go. Robot Heroes can live on through third-party company. Aaron, what would your company be called?
Oh, I don't know what it would be called. That's the thing I'm not great with. But I did have the idea that kind of, I guess, cribs off of somebody else's idea. What the Lucas brothers did for quite a while, and the accessory kits.
Mm-hmm.
So more kind of along the lines of what I guess Dr. Wu's starting to do some.
Mm-hmm.
Having things that are the characterful props that go along with the toys, you know, things like the smaller arm blades for RC, because what she has is a bit ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Some add-ons of that nature. Cannons for Bumblebee that maybe clip around the arm rather than just a little bit on the back of the arm to make it look like a honest-to-goodness cannon.
Oh, kind of like the bulkhead cannon arms that company is trying to put together.
Yeah.
You should call yourself Dr. Wee.
Yeah. Dr. Eh?
Dr. A.
No, eh?
I'm like, just pronouncing it differently.
Oh.
I'm spelling it. Dr. A.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes with Aaron. Yeah, that's it.
Excellent.
But I those are the type of add-ons that I like to see, because it's something that doesn't infringe, which I guess is part of what gets underneath Hasbro's skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a new head for something, it's not as angry face as if it's a whole new toy. Because it's like, okay, well, here's a new face or a new head or... you know, a changed sword or something, you know. Well, you still have to buy the original toy for that. So.
And those things, oddly enough, I find have a bigger market, because people who are opposed to full-on third-party toys often say in their reasonings that they're okay with accessory sets.
Yeah, so. And I really do like the idea of accessory sets, because it gets more play out of what you already have.
And you also don't need to try to engineer an actual transforming toy and then, in some cases, as we've seen, have it not turn out all that well.
Yeah, you don't end up with a Sonicron.
Or the Grand Patriot.
Yeah.
I just watched some reviews of the Grand Patriot to remind myself of how he turned out, and I forgot about some of that stuff.
Why, were you thinking about buying one?
No, but...
okay, I should look into this. Oh, God.
Crossover Gen, they've put out the solicit for their Power Master Prime trailer. It's going to be $175 to $200.
Oh, boy.
And it looks much like Grand Patriot. It looks okay. The silhouette's cool. It's got cool feature sets, but... the problem with Grand Patriot was how he was physically constructed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I really don't know. TF Source was on Twitter literally going like, hey, would you guys pay this much for Crossover Gens, blah, 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 blah? And then afterwards I saw a tweet saying that said literally, thanks for the honest feedback, which made me think, oh, I wonder what the feedback was like.
A whole lot of four-letter words followed by you.
I feel bad for Crossover Gen because they're trying really hard, and they're posting on Twitter. They're sharing even their concept art, which kind of looked like it was drawn on a napkin.
Hey! That was high quality paper towel.
Yeah, I as a company, I like them, but I don't want to actually buy their stuff because it often doesn't seem to turn out all that well. It's like they're the company that tries really hard, and I appreciate that. And I actually am really hoping that their animated Power Master Prime trailer turns out, because that one aesthetically looks like it's a lot more solid than this other stuff they've done. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is I wouldn't call my company Crossover Gen. I haven't gone yet, have I?
Okay. No.
I'd call my company Boys for Spiders. And we'd release basically a good arachnid, and we'd call her the Boy Hunter. That's what we would do.
I'm staring at the microphone right now.
Did you guys hear about...
with a not happy face.
Did you hear about how she was portrayed in the dub of Transformers Prime?
No, I haven't had to moderate that judiciously.
Anyway, what I want to do is I want to release a toy called the Boy Hunter, and I want it to be a really good arachnid toy. I can hear Aaron, and he's not saying anything. Aaron, would you buy a Boy Hunter? Aaron, snap out of it.
I think he's glaring at you.
You can't,
your little avatar in the Skype window smoking.
You can't moderate Skype.
I can if I try hard enough.
Should I go to the Prime Forum and suggest this? Like, see if maybe I could get, like, a Kickstarter going or something like that?
Yeah, because as soon as you post in there, your ass is mine.
I forgot that you would have been dealing with the aftershock of discovering Arachnid's Transformers Primu portrayal.
Yeah.
How fun was, like, how many threads was that? I'm just curious.
There was one thread that I've just had to keep a good eye on.
You've been shocked into angered silence by just one thread.
Just having to deal with it. You try not to take work home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come here and you're like, oh, hey, yeah, you've had a good day. Oh, well, oh, look at this. This looks like your work. Oh.
Were you telling me you'd have a better name for a third-party Arachnid toy?
Guy wouldn't make a third-party Arachnid toy whatsoever.
Do you hate Arachnid or something?
In toy form.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to fix her. We're going to make the better one.
You can't fix something that broken.
No, you can. You just got to make it cost $100, no. And then it'll be fine. No. Yeah. No, listen. You look at the show, all right? Look at the Hasbro toy. You got to do a few key things. Like, number one, don't attach a chair to the back of her head. Number two, don't
burn it in a fire.
Don't give her ball-jointed hips and then put giant things on them that lock them in place to the side of her torso. You know, like, I'm going to make the perfect boy hunter, Aaron.
This feels like Aaron is taking my job.
Omegas, do you think that it's a good name, the Boy Hunter? Do you think it's a...
You know what? Sure, if you want to sell Boy Hunters, you go right ahead with that.
You could even, like, do up color variations and come up with cool, like, prefixes for the name. Like, if we do, like, a version of her, like, colored red, we could call her the Spicy Boy Hunter. Or we could do her up in blue and call her, like, the Chili Boy Hunter. Do her up in green, the Spinach Boy Hunter. That's what I would do. So, thank you for the question, Stomo Man. Yo, Aaron.
No.
Aaron.
No, thank you for the question.
Why not?
Because it led to this.
What's wrong with this? This is beautiful.
Everything is wrong with this.
Oh, man. You could do, like, a chrome black version of Arachnid and call her, like, the Oily Boy Hunter.
Okay, now I'm staring at my microphone.
Well, you got me started on this, so really it's
Vangelis,
your guys'
the thing
fault.
To remember. Do you remember what I did to Crisis at BotCon?
Somewhat.
How long is it till TFCon?
Plenty of time for you to forget that this all happened.
No. No, not enough time.
Can I defer
left arm or right arm?
Can I defer this to Crisis? Because technically he's my little brother.
No, you get what's coming to you, but I will let you pick left arm or right arm.
I'll figure it out at the show.
Okay.
What if I write the name Boy Hunter on one of my arms? Would you want to hit that one?
You will be unable to use it for about a week. I think that's what Crisis was down for the count on.
Oh, I'm going to do better than Crisis. I'm going to do better than Crisis.
2 weeks?
You watch. No, 48 hours tops.
Okay.
I'll be doing handstands on that arm.
But can you do handstands on it now?
No, but it'll be different because I'm gonna feel enraptured by the bravery of the Boy Hunter because I would have suffered for my art. All these noises coming through the microphone. Ludicrous. Listen, we all got to cool off for a second here, so why don't we take an intermission? Because I got a lot of stuff this week. I think Omega's got a lot of stuff this week. Aaron got a lot of stuff this week. We're going to have a long ass what we got this week. And that'll help us all cool down, and then we'll forget all about the Boy Hunter. Get on your knees, hands up, get them on. Get on your knees, hands up, stick them on. Get on your knees, hands up, get them on. Get on your knees, hands up, stick them on. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and you're never going to believe this, but during our short break, Aaron ran straight to the LEGO website and went looking for LEGO parts. The man is addicted.
It's for display purposes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You need LEGOs to display your LEGOs.
Yes. That's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the stacking and interlocking nature of LEGOs, then you can build a display case that's not the stupid expensive display case to show off minifigs, but so that you can make risers that somebody in our forums had the great idea, and I just wanted to emulate what the cool people are doing.
Did you just say stackable storage?
Yes, they make, it's like $20 to display 12 or so, where it's 12 individual cells that you can put minifigs into. And then they're made out kind of like Lego bricks so that you can stack one on top of another.
What if,
to display them?
What if I put Lego into, like, stackable Lego into a stackable plastic box? Because that makes me kind of excited about Lego.
You see, the really clever builder would make, like, little display shelves that you could then stack up and stack beside each
other. Lumpy had the idea, actually, of getting one of the big Lego placemats and put them in on rows, and then you could put normal blocks underneath it to kind of make a riser. And I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to go and look things up now and show them to you so that you people quit mocking me for my stupid addiction.
Essentially, you're making bleachers for your Legos.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm making. So they have...
Oh, here we go. Welcome to our On Topic.
Yeah. Not my doing.
Well, to be fair, you're the one.
These are form-changing plastic toys.
Yes. Yeah.
Aaron, you're the one who went to get a Link when we were just happy to joke about it for a little while.
No, because I must defend my position here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, yeah, that is stupid. I mean, it's so cheap.
I like how they specify. You can proudly I wouldn't feel proud displaying them in a giant Lego brick.
Right.
That wouldn't be cool at all.
Jeez. You can build that out of normal Legos for like $10 probably.
Well, yeah. not the cost of Lego nowadays. More like furry.
Oh, yeah.
So what I've done is I've cleared out an area in the toy room. I've actually worked in the toy room to clear out an area so that a small, like, side table can be put in there so that all the Lego crap that I'm getting can go in there and get out of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I do to deal with the space I would need for Lego sets? Is I don't buy Lego sets.
You instead buy Transformers?
That's right. Smaller? More modular?
Not smaller. Always.
And I mean, technically Lego is more modular because you can just smash it into tiny pieces, but...
Yeah.
All that aside, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What We Got This Week, where we're going to talk about, first, the Transformers we got this week, which are not made of Lego, because that is not a Hasbro brand. So let's kick things off with Mr. Aaron Smith!
Yeah. Decent little week for Transformers. First and foremost, and most exciting, I would think, is thanks to aforesaid Lumpy, got myself an EVAC.
Uh-huh.
The Paramount nice. Studios exclusive EVAC.
I should get an EVAC sometime.
Yeah, probably about a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And he is fully a good toy. I was kind of thinking he'd kind of end up being like the Aveo Swerve was, mm-hmm. in that it was not quite really a deluxe, but not really a basic. It was, again, I guess, good toy, but not... Didn't quite seem like it was a full toy. And EVAC definitely seems like it is a full toy, and then a little bit, maybe even.
Awesome to hear.
Yeah, he is pricey. I think the retail was like $25 for something that's deluxe-sized, but it's exclusive to like two locations in the world, so...
And they're sold out.
A little bit. Are they sold out already?
I thought they sold out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I had not heard that.
Hmm.
But he only has a couple little wonky bits, with the way that his wheels work in relationship to his legs and some other parts, as I sit here and transform them. Apparently there's a few tabs that you have to be careful and transform everything in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are tabs that will very quickly either stress out or just flat out break. But he makes for a good toy. And if you can get him and they're apparently maybe sold out condition, I'd say go for it.
I mean, currently sold out with the caveat of probably will be restocked.
Oh, okay.
But like because it's only sold at two locations, those two locations sold out a couple weeks ago. And I think they're still waiting for a restock sometime in the summer. Aaron, I want to ask you, because there's only one thing about him I was curious about. How is his cape?
His cape is not bad.
Okay.
Whatsoever. The instructions don't quite show it, as memory serves, but there's a place that you kind of got to stretch it to get it to tab together. And then once you do, his cape extends back from his back, but just right about to his knee level. And then you can either have it collapse so it looks like he just has the cab and the sides on his back, or you can fold those parts up, which are part of the transformation, to make it more cape-like.
Mm-hmm.
But he still keeps good forward balance and just rocks it out. He's got a ton of 3mm ports all around him. Plenty of the other armor bits that are fidgety a little bit, so you can kind of change up his look.
Mm-hmm.
Some with the spikes on his legs, where his wheels sit, about his arm, things like that. So he's a good toy. Kind of a bummer that it's exclusive right now. I can't remember, was the talk that the repaint was going to end up potentially in the main line, or could end up in the main line?
They, at New York Comic Con, said they had every intention of getting the Deluxe Evac to the main line in some form, be it through a repaint or simply through being on a different card.
Okay. But yeah, the card is totally a Universal Studios Transformers card. It is unique, and I guess the Prime and Bumblebee are the same, but I wasn't going to pay $35 for another one of those.
Why not? There aren't enough Bumblebees out around here. We need more.
Yeah. I think I counted 13, old lucky 13, at my Target last time I was in there. We need more Bumblebees.
We do. Obviously. Cool. Well, I mean, I definitely hope I can find one for myself sometime within the next 31 days.
Is it that quick already?
Yeah, we're really close. We're really close.
To whatever it is you speak of.
Yeah, that thing. So, but did you get any other Transformers other than Evac, or was he?
Yes.
Did. You high roller.
If you remember last week, talking about getting a Heinrad,
mm-hmm.
I got a Heinrad.
Well, finally.
And it's a squirrel with balls.
Mm-hmm.
And a sake bottle that just fell on the floor. Yeah, it's on the floor somewhere. So I can't make his gun right now, but that's okay. I had forgotten just how good Beast Wars era posability could be. I guess there's kind of that blank spot in the brain that goes from G1 to modern toys and forgets that this dude is pretty posable in and of himself. Kind of a wonky transformation. First couple times I did it, I had his squirrel nuts fall off mid-transformation because of the awkward way that they sit. Yeah, horrible things. But pretty good overall. He can sit there in the classic Tanuki with his lunch and his sake and his big bushy tail that each thing, I guess, signifies something specific in Japanese culture that I can't pretend to understand reasonably, but and for $25 at Big Bad, it's a steal of a deal.
Are you going to use him as an actual clock?
No.
Oh.
No. No, I'm not going to put batteries into a 15-year-old device and hope it works and keeps any sort of accurate time when I have devices that sync to the internet and keep perfect time throughout the house. Because apparently the way to snooze is you have to hit the robot head to get it to stop its alarm. And I couldn't read in the Japanese with my lack of Japanese reading skills, how to not have it be an alarm. I put batteries in it and went, oh, wow, that's an alarm. Let's stop that. Let's make that stop. Why isn't it stopping? Oh, God. And then pull the battery.
You know, it seems like an obvious YouTube video to make that doesn't, I don't know of actually existing, would be the how to use Heinlad as a clock.
Yeah.
Video. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying them. More people should have Neo toys, given that they're suddenly plentiful.
Yeah, they're suddenly plentiful and like MSRP.
Mm-hmm.
Not incredibly cranked up. But beyond that, found Cyberverse Ironhide and Dreadwing.
Mm-hmm.
Out and about. Really like Ironhide, really like Dreadwing. Ironhide, I really dig the way that his arms and shoulders flip around and move around each other to turn into the grill out of like four different pieces that kind of all combine it.
Yeah,
and move through each other's space.
I don't mean to do any actually this is a perfect point of crossover here, because I picked them up as well.
Ooh.
And I agree with you about Ironhide. I think that I've found a lot of people, when I said I got Ironhide, everyone who said something said, oh, don't expect too much out of him. He's okay, but don't expect too much. Don't, like, as though they were trying to talk me down. Like, don't expect much out of the guy, okay? Just, okay, he's okay, but don't expect much. And I play with him. I actually am really liking Ironhide. Like, his truck mode is awesome, and his transformation is fantastic. And even though, like, he's not amazingly poseable in robot mode, like, the act of transforming him is so satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shoulder transformation is fantastic.
He's got almost like a deluxe level of transformation.
Yeah.
Between things flipping and twisting. The only issue that I have is that I wish his truck top had maybe another fold in it to go around his arm.
Yeah, his arms are the wonky part, especially because in some of the art and instructions, they don't even fold that red flap. They just leave it.
Yeah. It almost like hinders his own hand.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer. But his guns, I guess, are supposed to go on the back of his arms so he doesn't need your silly human construct of hands.
He can still even hold the guns because the pegs are long enough.
Yeah.
And dude has ankle tilts, which was a really pleasant surprise for me.
Yeah, as part of the transformation, but still it's that point is firm enough that it holds. So,
and his silhouette in robot mode is just gorgeous.
Yeah,
like just standing there, I think he looks amazing. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. A lot of people are down on this toy, and I'm like,
I don't understand it either.
Yeah, I can see being down on it in the sense of don't expect him to be as good as like Dreadwing, I guess. But to be honest, I find them quite on par for various reasons. But that's just me. This dude's fantastic. I love him. I'm glad that you like him too. I was afraid I was gonna be like all alone on here, going like the Ironhide apologist, like,
fighting the fight.
No, guys, listen. His ankles tilt. No, he's got two guns. Well, mine didn't right away, but that's a different story.
What?
Okay. Here's the thing about Ironhide. You know how his second gun is in the insert, like behind the cardboard insert?
Yeah.
First Ironhide I picked up didn't have anything there.
Oh, no.
So I would heartily recommend when you're buying Ironhide, just take a quick glance behind the inside cardboard insert to make sure his second gun is there.
Yeah.
Just take a quick glance. It's not like someone immediately warned me on Twitter, the second gun doesn't immediately up his quality tenfold, but I like having complete toys.
Yeah.
So that's just me. And did you notice that he's got a peg on his back that can store his gun if you combine the gun together?
I saw the peg, but I wasn't sure how to make it store there.
The guns have
you just got
a they have a hole.
Oh,
in them.
Yeah.
So if you combine the guns together, you can just stick them on his back.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because I noticed that peg and I thought it was just like some kind of erroneous plastic. Then I remembered Dreadwing had a similar thing.
Yeah.
So I like that idea. If they're working that into these commanders, like just like a rack on their back to stick their gun onto.
Yeah. I'm trying to find other commanders, but they're not up on my desk, so...
I have another commander on my desk, but... That's one that's to be talked about.
I've got Dreadwing on my desk as well. However, that does not fix the problem of looking for another commander that's not one of these two.
I just want to quickly check. Omegas, did you get these guys as well?
No, my area is still way behind everyone else's.
I was like, before we continue, if we're able to triple crossover this, let's do it, but...
No, I'll just sit here. You enjoy your iron hides.
Oh, and Dreadwings. Yeah. Enjoy them both.
Yes, and your Dreadwing. Just go away.
Okay. I gotta ask you, Aaron. Do you like Dreadwing?
I do, except for his hips are super duper loose.
Oh. Mine felt like it had that problem, and then somehow they tightened themselves. I don't really know what happened. Like, if it was
no,
just like...
and if I do anything, I mean, they're very super wobbly, as is. Every time I've transformed him, I've basically just pop the hips off and pop them back on because...
Oh, geez.
It's going to be a whole lot easier, yeah.
You should get some floor polish on that.
Yeah, I really do need to get some floor polish for the sole purpose of tightening limbs.
Yeah, well, you do.
Yeah, but cool transformation. Mm-hmm. I like the sides of the jets becoming the shoulder pads, and being able to very easily undersling his gun.
Yeah,
the right way.
I got a small.
He
problem
even has
with,
the poseability that I kind of wish he had, that it had like a handle on the top of it to two hand it.
Yeah, I got a small problem with mine. Which is that one of his feet doesn't fold up enough. Like, I think there's some flash somewhere deep inside the joint. So when I transform him, his feet kind of, instead of going together flat and smoothly, they kind of overlap each other. And it looks a bit sloppy.
Yeah. And that's the rough thing with this scale, is I bet it's pretty easy for one little bit of flash to completely gum up the works.
Totally, totally. I want to say, I saw a really great analogy from XVBrawn on Twitter, which is that this Cyberverse Dreadwing is totally a nouveau, like, new generation Cyberjet. And messing with them, I can totally see that.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, I love this figure. His transformation is also... I find his transformation a little bit less cool than Ironhide's, only because Ironhide ends up with such a solid vehicle mode.
Yeah.
Which is why I kind of put them on par with each other. Like, Dreadwing is a better toy, but... If you like vehicle modes and you like cool transformations, Ironhide has a slight step up in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I got to throw this to Dreadwing. He has quite literally a Gerwalk mode, like right down to the proper A stance. He has a Macross Gerwalk mode as part of, and like his knees can bend forward slightly. Everything's in the right spot for a Gerwalk mode. This guy has a Gerwalk mode, which I quite like.
Mm-hmm.
That little bit of Macrossivity is always good. I think the only problem I have with him is I kind of wish his weapons weren't translucent yellow, because I find the color a little bit off-putting.
But. Yeah, I guess that's the colors that go throughout him, so you gotta go with that color.
Yeah.
I wish maybe that the sword had a paint app on one side of the blade to make it look like a blade and not just yellow.
And I mean, worst case, it's not as though I can't just paint a sword that's this tiny.
That's true.
But... Yeah, Dreadwing's fantastic. If you can find either of these guys personally, I'd recommend them. Dreadwing especially, but...
I would second the recommendation.
Yeah. Anyway, that's me muscling in on your time, and then muscling in on your attempt to continue your time. So I'll just let you continue.
Also got Energon Driller and Starhammer.
How are those?
The playsets. Warming up to them. A whole lot. I already was excited about the Energon Driller because of the stupid Viacon Addiction 27 now. And,
Well, huh? What? Oh, I thought you were done. Yeah. I thought you were done.
In the big bad order, I had sitting around in my pile of loot for quite a while some additional Cyberverse vehicles.
Oh, look at that. So he was done, but now he's got a few more.
They had been sitting in there for months.
You have just reset your sobriety count, sir.
No, because they were bought before
hand in your chip. Yet, hand in your chip.
You gotta hand
no,
in your chip.
Because it was something in stock at Big Bad Toy Store, the only way that they could go out of my pile of loot was for me to be inactive for whatever, 6 months. But by then, they'd keep my money anyway.
Uh-huh.
So it was already paid for while I was... off the wagon. I have not purchased any new ones. I have just received them.
It's this justification that I find so depressing with cases like this. You know, trying to make it somebody else's fault.
No, it's right. I purchased them. I'm not saying it's somebody else's fault. I am saying through the methodology of purchasing toys, I have not purchased any more Viacons. I have just received them.
Oh, I just received this bag of cocaine. Well, I'd better use it so it does not go to waste.
No, if you come into a bag of cocaine on your own, you sell it and use the money.
Mm-hmm.
To buy more Viacons.
Right.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But, I think I like the Driller more than I like Starhammer. Mm-hmm. Or Jackhammer. Show it's the Jackhammer on the box, it's the Starhammer.
Yeah.
Both of them have a control piece that you pull and it mechanically flips out two guns that also become like weapon stands where it has handles that flip out. Mm-hmm. That are actually pretty neat in that they have grips on the bottom and the top of it. So where mm-hmm. there are some guys that have a clear hand able to grab from underneath, you can do that, or a hand to grab over it, you can do that.
That's a nice touch.
They all both of them have a decent number of 3 millimeter clips, 5 millimeter peg holes, plenty of things to do on these little $20 price point things. The other thing that makes me like the Driller a little bit more is the action features, in that I don't know how well that comes across, but it has a button that you can push, or when he's not weapons deployed, if you roll him on the floor, the drill bit will spin.
That's just downright threatening to me. I'm hearing the sound and I feel threatened.
Yeah. And also he has, both of them have the power up thing. So how all the Cyberverse guys have translucent weapons,
mm-hmm.
and they all have that peg hole on them that we've always used just to stack weapons.
Yeah.
Well, this has something that can plug into one of those or grab onto one of the pegs. And then when you push the button, it has a little LED light that then lights up your Cyberverse weapon.
Oh, does it actually work all right?
Yeah, it's a bright little LED. It's the same LEDs that they're using in the weaponizers.
Oh, cool.
But it's on it has a long cable, and both of them have little trapdoors you can open that the cables come out of, mm-hmm. so that you can wind a lot of the cable up. And then both of them have pegs that plug into their translucent plastic. So on the Driller, when you push the button down, the light, when you have it pegged in, makes the base of the drill glow. And then on the Jackhammer, he has like a... it looks like a radar dish pointing down, targeting thing gun.
Hmm.
And you press that, and then it glows green and lights that up. But the Jackhammer's flips out, makes his ship take on more of the profile of it in flight, where it has kind of the angled wings. But then he has massive cannons that pop up over top that have the same over-under hand grips with guns. The Jackhammer's neat bit is the fact that Wheeljack actually can sit in it robot style.
Hmm.
Not like the vehicle playsets in the Dark of the Moon line had, where he's sitting in the cockpit with his swords in his lap, looking out the window of the front of the Jackhammer.
Hmm.
So there, if you can buy one, buy the one that unfortunately is short packed in the Energon Driller.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both fun playsets if you're into the Cyberverse thing.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty much all in right now, because I had so much fun with the Dark of the Moon ones, and I didn't even care about those characters nearly as much.
Right. The biggest thing that gets me about these is the instructions, or rather the lack of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the instructions on the backside have the normal battery warning and how to transform the Cyberverse guys that comes with them, Wheeljack or Knockout. And then the front of it's like, slide the slide. It changes. Slide the slide the other way. Oh, it changes back.
And they leave out all that other stuff?
And they leave out a lot of the other stuff. I think it also shows push the button and you get the light, but it doesn't. Neither one of them show the area that you can push cable into, so that you don't have 8, 9, 10 inches of cable hanging out in space that you can kind of tuck it in and give it a cleaner look.
That's a bummer.
I think the Jackhammer shows that you opening it to put Wheeljack in it, but it definitely doesn't show on the Energon Drill. It has like running boards on the side of it that you can flip down. And both of them have what look to be points where one side has a 3 millimeter clip, but then the other side has like a grip piece where it's an over under piece that you can take. Since I don't have two Energon drills, I can take the jackhammer's 3mm peg and clip right into it. So it's like they're meant to chain together.
That's kind of cool.
So, like, if you had two jackhammers, you could plug the two of them in side by side and have a super jackhammer or something.
I wonder if Optimus Maximus has some of that stuff so you could, like, build a city.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, going back to the way that the MicroMaster base sets all had compatible ramps and whatnot. So, it's kind of sad. I don't know. Maybe it'll show up in Optimus Maximus and Bumblebee, whatever the heck.
Oh, Optimus Maximus apparently was just spotted in the U.S. at a Kmart.
Was just spotted in a Kmart, yeah.
And apparently he's going to be like $30 to $35, which is a lot less expensive than I thought he was going to be.
Right. So maybe if it says in there combines with other playsets and shows this, then maybe it's just this is where I get slightly frustrated with the man and the system and whatever that they don't show all of the features that they build in the things.
That's a bummer.
Especially when it's, you know, it's going to be a kid just playing with them that has this, not somebody like me that's sitting here fidgeting with it because I'm going to talk about it on the internet to people around the world and want to get as many details right because they'll call me out on it.
Well,
jerks.
Speaking of details, I want to ask you, how are the actual Transformers that come with them?
Standard Cyberverse. Legion. Knockout's a little bit weird in the way that he transforms. The top half of his car kind of clamshells a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And where his head assembly sits makes for a little bit of an odd transformation. And Wheeljack is I don't want to say boring Legion, but pretty plain Jane Neither of them are thrilling, no. Knockout comes with two weapons. He's got his saw and then the lance thing that he picks up later on.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wheeljack comes with his two swords. So he doesn't even have a quasi-gun unless you hold the sword sideways and then you've got a gun that you shoot yourself with in a tiny barrel.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
It's kind of weird. It's like kind of a bummer, but it's still, to me, kind of cool that because of Cliffjumper, I'm always now asking, like, so how'd that one turn out? Like, I'm not just assuming they're all going to be 5 points of articulation, fold them twice, and they transform.
Right. They're on par Legion size Cyberverse.
Alrighty.
Wheeljack sits really well.
Excellent.
which is a good thing, because if he didn't, it would make the fact that he has to sit in a cockpit kind of awkward.
That would be a bummer. I'm looking over the box for Optimus Maximus, and they aren't saying anything about connecting to anything yet.
Yeah, but that's
just the front of the box.
Makes me sad.
Maybe it's on the back of the box. I don't know. I can't see
the box. Maybe it's inside. Yeah. That's always the biggest disappointment to me is when we know what's going down that it's, it does that. No, it doesn't. They don't say it, rather, and then
They don't say it on the box, but there is a cardboard cutout Cyberverse Prime in the chest, so I guess they're implying that part pretty clearly.
Okay.
I really want Optimus Maximus. It's so ludicrous. You get anything else Transformers-wise this week?
No.
Alright, let's shuffle on over to Monsieur Metrocon and ask Omegas Prime what Transformers he got this week.
It's funny you should mention Metrocon first, because I could not find a Transformer there.
Ah!
I was actively looking, and even the first-run Masterpiece Rodimus Prime that I've seen there since its release was not there.
How much was that first-run Rodimus?
Like $200.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Convention prices. Hooray! Nothing from there. However, I did finally manage to find a store around here with Wave 3.
Ooh!
No Viacon, of course.
Aw.
No, so... But I did end up picking up Knockout.
Tell me how you feel about Knockout.
There's mixed emotions to Knockout. everyone should know this by now, but for those who don't, the first thing you do is you open up his packaging, you take out the instructions, and you pitch them into an airlock.
Yep, get rid of them. They suck.
Mm-hmm. Royally.
Yeah. It's like shockingly bad. Like we've had like mistransformations on stock photos and the instructions before. Never that bad.
Hmm. No,
like and that's serious detriment to the toy.
And having found a way to transform him satisfactorily that locks together, I'm just I don't get how they couldn't at least imply parts of it on the instructions. It sucks.
I know, especially when the instructions look nothing like he does in the show. Hmm. Like, when you see the stock photos, the big things wrong with him are that the two side panels of the car with the headlights are angled too low, and this chest is completely flat. And there's steps to alleviate both of those quite effectively.
Yeah.
And it all locks together.
That's
imagine
the thing
that.
That surprised me, because everyone who got him early was having trouble getting everything to lock together, so I just was assuming, like, I guess we're just fan-moding this. And then when I tried it, it was like, click, oh! It clicked together. That seems intentional.
Yeah, quite so. I mean, if you've been around Transformers enough, you know to look for certain grooves and angles that things are at and plug them together. And, oh, wait. This is supposed to go this way. Brilliant.
Yeah.
So, I'm okay with him. I feel like he could have used like another month or so in the development process.
Hmm.
You know, just because he doesn't feel as substantial or... I don't know. I'm looking for some meat to him that's not quite there.
I'll just look at him from the front, and you'll see. Like, if you look at him from the side, all the meat disappears.
Well, a slight angle too is okay, though.
Yeah.
I like how, like, on the inside of those side pieces that those line details that he has in the show are molded in.
Yeah, that was a really cool discovery I had when I got mine. I was surprised how on model he is for something that is trying really hard and not quite able to get it.
Right. So, I appreciate the effort that went into it. Let's put it that way. So I'm okay with him. I'm starting to notice something on Prime Toys that does kind of get on my nerves is how much they're using like shell kibble from the vehicle mode just as panels folded up into the limbs.
Hmm.
Which is starting to become a running trait. It's okay if it works out into a solid piece like Ratchet. Ratchet's works great. But I could say the same like on Cliffjumper and now on Knockout. It seems a little... it seems a little worrisome.
I was going to ask you how you feel about Knockout's amazing accessory weapon.
Oh, that. Eh?
I really... like how your reaction was, oh, that, in an exasperated moment of chuckling. Because that says it all. Because that thing sucks.
It didn't even get the paint that it has in the packaging picture. That's,
And the part where it's supposed to split is the one place where you can sort of clip it into his hand. Except since it splits, on mine at least, it's quite a troublesome ordeal to get the whole weapon into one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That thing. Dr. Wu! That is something that is calling to you! Just saying. How do you feel about his size?
Maybe that's what I'm lacking a little bit here, because he does feel small and hollow.
Hmm.
I think that's one of the parts that does bug me about him a little bit. I wish he's just a little bit more substantial.
Hmm. Still, you found part of Wave 3. That's a start.
I found part of Wave 3. That's a good thing. Strangely enough, I did not feel the need for another hotshot.
What?
Why not?
Because it's made out of that bumblebee mold.
Oh.
But you could use that bumblebee mold if you don't
goggles.
Think of that mold being bumblebee.
Yeah. Goggles.
So, yeah, the Viacon hunt continues. But... Mm. I have a consolation prize, and it's better than I feared he'd be.
Yeah, I ended up really liking Knockout because he didn't turn out to be a piece of crap. Like, mm-hmm. all of the people getting him and trying to follow the instructions pictures made him look. That was a really nice, pleasant surprise, I found. I quite dig him. Did you find any other Transformers, or was it really just a knockout week for you?
That was really it. This area has been a complete dead zone.
Mm. I hear you.
Which is... It's kind of frustrating, because I hear, like GOG, like 2 hours north of me or so, has had fairly decent luck.
He's driving all over the place, though, if I understand correctly. He's like...
I think in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've hit about 12, 13 stores around here. Nothing.
Hmm. And it must be just on the cusp or something. Either that or there's some
I
guy
hope
like...
so, because...
There might just be a guy standing right in front of you the entire time.
There's this really bad worry in me right now going, like, okay, none of these stores got in Wave 3 because they were saturated from Wave 1, and then Wave 2 didn't help much. I'm so freaking out that they're just all going to skip to Wave 4.
Well, then you can get Arachnid.
Completely shut me out. Yep. Oh, that's a consolation. There you go.
No, it would be.
That's a toy. Where I was really hoping she was undergoing knockout syndrome and no one knew how to transform her. But it turns out everyone figured out how to transform her.
Yeah, she's her own syndrome.
Mm. Arachnid syndrome. Arachnid immediately made me think of Chromia from Cybertron and Galaxy Force. You know, Thunderblast?
Yeah. Well, her problem is she doesn't actually transform into her vehicle mode.
Well, if you think about how Arachnid transforms... She folds up in a very similar way to Chromia. It's just that instead of all of her panels becoming a cape, all of her panels are stuck onto her limbs in a very limiting kind of way.
So, kind of Beast Wars in that fashion.
Yeah, in all the wrong ways, kind of Beast Wars.
All the wrong ways, or like a Sideburn style.
Yeah. Only Sideburn's things all had joints, at least, so you can move them out of the way.
Right, right. I don't know, it's a little unfair. Like, Thunderblast I came to accept as... This is a modern pretender. She's not transforming, but yeah. She keeps her shell nearby.
Well, Arachnid's also a pretender, you know, pretending to be a
decent transformer.
Good toy, yeah. Burn.
As I bash a toy I do not own.
Apparently I could go to Silver Snail and buy one for $20 plus tax right now.
That sounds like a horrible deal.
Yeah! That's because it came through Diamond. So Silver Snail's a comic shop. So yeah. When they get Transformers, it's through Diamond Distributing, who, like...
And Diamond makes everything better.
Oh, man. As far as I understand, like, a case of Transformers from Diamond prices the Transformers out at being, like, $16 to $18 each for the seller.
Yeah.
So it's like...
And then they've got to make their cut in there.
Yeah. Anyway, I got some stuff this week. I got three Transformers this week that were not those two Cyberverse toys. And all three of these Transformers came from three different people who all got in touch with me through Twitter or the boards. So I'm just going to go up and down the list here. First up, from Dan, OptRod on Twitter, OptRod. Some time ago, he helped me out with getting a hold of an Acid Storm, and it just showed up this week. I missed out on Acid Storm because I kept thinking I'll just get him later, and then eventually he stopped existing. So
they do that, you know.
I know. I was not paying enough attention. So I got Acid Storm from OptRod, and I actually really like him. I didn't realize the extent of his camo apps, or like the weird mustard yellow, or like that the kind of off blue color of some of his plastic. This is the whole way that he does not look like a clean fan oriented Seeker deco. Despite being that 2006 Seeker mold, for some reason that's all coming together in a way that I kind of am enjoying now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Many, many props to OptRod for apparently diving into a closet and unearthing this Acid Storm from, like piles of stuff that had been living on top of its package. So I was keeping updated on that through the Twitter. Also through Twitter, Twitter user @Togaoki, TOGAOKI, who I met through, I think, a live stream I was doing, one day said, "Yo, you got bot shots lockdown." I was like, "Nope." And then he was like, "Don't buy one." So Togaoki, through America, helped me get a hold of a bot shots lockdown, Do you guys know what bot shots are?
No.
You guys,
what are bot shots?
No.
Do you guys know what lockdown is?
That's like when something bad it's happens like and they don't let anybody out of the building?
Kind of, except it's a transformer.
Oh.
Okay, basically, all the good stuff about bot shots and all the good stuff about lockdown into one delightful little package. It's a great bot shot. The only problem with mine is he's got kind of got the thing that my I think my Bumblebee has, where it's a little bit tricky to get him to transform properly. He's got, like, just, you know, some stuff's a little bit twitchy in his mechanisms, but that comes with bot shots. That's just something that happens with them. And it's not like it's impossible to use them for their intended purpose of being driven into things and spring-load transforming. So, bot shots lockdown, highly recommended. Even if you don't like bot shots, if you're only going to get one, make it lockdown, because this is such a mixed, like, I almost said mixed media. It's more like it's just so there are so many things coming out of this bot shots lockdown in terms of where it's coming from that I think it's really worth picking up. Also, his car mode is just adorable. And it has the lockdown bumper, like the bumper that forms his feet in animated. Like, it's got that edged look to it. So Togoki was a bro about lockdown, and I hope I can do him proud in winning many bot shots games with this bot shot. And then podcast listener on TFW, Midnight Bliss, posted in a thread about this. And I got in touch with him. And so basically today, this morning, a Prid Viacon arrived.
And how you like?
Prid Viacon is a good toy. I'm sure enough people have said it already. I probably don't actually need to go into detail. But Prid Viacon's a very good toy. Speaking as that idiot who owns like five or six first edition Viacons, I think that as a toy, this is better. It is faster to transform. It is simpler to transform. It's got a very decent silhouette, and it's more or less identically poseable. The first edition Viacon is shinier, so his alt mode does look a little bit better. And I kind of find the first edition Viacon's head sculpt to be a bit more menacing. But the Prid Viacon is really, really nice in that you can really easily transform him, which is one of the odd downsides to the first edition Viacon. Because with Viacons, you're always going to end up owning at least a couple of them.
So, hopefully.
So when they're not fast to transform, that actually is a bit of a downside, because transforming five first edition Viacons takes a long time. So I like this guy a lot. I am definitely going to try to pick up more. I'm going to go multiples of three. I'm probably going to just end up doing my six by the time we hit 2013. But very good toy. It ought to be remolded and redecoed as many times as possible, because it's a solid toy of an army builder. Fewer recipes have spelled themselves out as obviously as this one. And finally having this in hand and getting to really mess with it now has me a lot more excited for the Jet Viacon whenever that comes out. If it's this toy with, you know, fins, that should be cool. So, I don't know if anyone said this before, but you should probably keep an eye out for the Prid Viacon. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah. Hopefully the Wave 4 Rev 2 case, or Rev 3 case, whatever case it is that has a whole bunch of Viacons in it, a whole bunch being two, will be coming.
Oh, man. But, we all know why this toy is cool. You know, a third of his car mode accordions into his shins and all that. And it's very easy to do. That's the thing I liked about this. That was the learning experience on this, is that all of his transformation steps are also, they're not wobbly. It's not hard to do them. So it's very easy to just kind of like mush parts together. Or if you just know the general direction things are supposed to go, you don't have to worry too much about, you know, how precise you are in transforming him, which I really appreciate. Especially with the way that the front of his shins tab into the slots on the roof of the car. It's not really like an operation to do it. The one thing I learned, though, is that you do need to split his legs before you start doing any of the accordion action.
Yeah, they fold slightly against each other, don't they?
Yeah, I didn't know that right away, and I was like, why isn't this working? And then, so bear that in mind. Anyway, best of luck to everyone who's still looking for them. Of course, many thanks to Midnight Bliss for the hookup on this one. And to everyone else for everything. I thank all of you, because you're all beautiful people. You know, no matter what, who you are or what you do, or how many people you've, you know, eaten, you're still beautiful people in your own special ways. What's up, Omegas? What's all this? I hear noise. Now I hear typing.
Nothing.
Aaron, are you moderating?
No.
Okay.
Getting my crying corner ready.
Oh. They will appear. I'm sure of it. That's all the Transformers I got this week, actually. So I'm going to go right into my off-topic, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of Transformers, and we're into other stuff. I only got one off-topic thing. But when I went out with Chris, GMFan101, on our male bonding date, I also found a vintage collection, deleted scene, Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi. And because I have the really good Darth Vader that's in the vintage collection that just came out this year, I decided to get the Luke Skywalker, also because he was on sale for like $6. He's from a deleted scene for the Blu-ray, where he's fixing his lightsaber or something like that. He's building it. So you get this Luke Skywalker who doesn't have any gloves on, because this is before the beginning of the movie, in his, you know, Return of the Jedi black Jedi gear. And he looks like he's a decent figure. The head sculpt's okay. Apparently his hair is swept the wrong way. But as a figure, I quite like him because he's fully poseable. He's got ball-jointed hips and everything, and, you know, ball-jointed wrists. He comes with a lit lightsaber and a removable tactical belt. And he also comes with an unlit lightsaber that's got its hatches open and a little screwdriver tool so you can, like, work on it. And he also comes with a Jedi robe, which he's supposed to be wearing when he's working on the lightsaber, you know, like the Obi-Wan Kenobi hooded robe. Except that the robe they made for him is, like, twice as big as the figure. So no matter how you put it on him, he looks like an idiot. So I rolled the robe up and I put it in a Ziploc bag, and I'm probably never going to put it on him except for if I do a video of him, because it sucks. They have done some good soft goods, but as far as I can tell, Vintage Collection has also done some really bad soft goods, and that is a really bad soft good to me.
Well, it's supposed to be vintage, and occasionally they had horrible things happen.
Yeah. It sucks. It's like, it's just so enormous. Like, you no matter what you do, it looks like he's got a balloon under his robe somewhere. But as a toy, he's okay. And I want him to go with my Vader, even though technically by the time he met Darth Vader in the movies, he'd be wearing a black glove. I don't care. That's my off topic. I'm not into Star Wars toys, though. You know, I'm just filling in the gaps now. That's all.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have passed on Newt Gungray's buddy, whatever his name is, because it's not Newt Gungray, many times. You know, the guy who's all like, the Trader Federation! Like that guy in the blue robe with the tall hat.
Yeah.
They have one of him. And I do not buy him because I do not need a toy of that guy, no matter how much I like to, you know, make fun of his stupid accent. I'm not into Star Wars toys. That's it. Mm-hmm. If anyone spots a Darth Malgus, let me know. Darth Malgus is from the MMO, and he's got a big Star Wars toy that just came out. Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
Did you get anything that was not Transformers?
Yes, it did.
What?
First and foremost, I got what you can't hear running because it's turned off. I got myself an air conditioning unit.
Hmm.
I live in a 100-year-old house or so that does have central air, but it has no good air return upstairs, so all the hot air gets pushed up.
Mm.
And a couple weeks ago, it started getting kind of warm. Record setting high today at 103, I think, is what the official temperature was.
Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit, yes. That comes out to, what did I say, like 40 Celsius or something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
For you. Kind of warm. And it's early and unseasonal in Indiana. And in the past, the ex-wife had always said, oh, no, we don't need air conditioner for upstairs. That's silly talk. And as I lay there sweating myself to death late one night, I said, you know what? I'll buy an air conditioner.
You know what's not silly? Buying an air conditioner when it's 40 degrees Celsius.
Right. So it's a small unit, but I found that if I leave it on during the day and the bedroom door open, it actually keeps the whole upstairs cool because there's a big old honking unit outside. And just what happens is all the hot air stacks upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it picks up very well over my microphone, so I'm not able to be running it right now, and I'm starting to feel the heat some. But it's great. The first night, I was like, let's see what this puppy will do, and I had it turned all the way up in high fan, and I was realized about 2 in the morning that maybe I didn't need to go full bore because I was curled up in the fetal position with a comforter over top of me, chittering my teeth slightly.
That's what happened with mine.
But at the same time, the night before, I felt like I almost died due to heat exhaustion. So we take the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've found on a regular night, a 6 low is more than good enough to keep this room cool. However, I have the feeling with it being still 85 degrees outside and almost midnight. 88 degrees outside and almost midnight. That I'll probably be running it a little bit high because, you know what, I'll take the cold.
Yeah.
So that was my big purchase.
Well, congratulations. I just got an air conditioner a couple weeks ago. Omegas, you live in Florida, so I just kind of assume you have an air conditioner.
Oh, well, yeah, we're trying to figure out how to put one in a backpack you can just walk around with all day.
Yeah.
So Aaron's joined the air conditioner club.
Right. I had the decision between the $100 one and the $130 one. This one's mechanical, and the $130 was the same output, but they kept calling it electrical, and it wasn't until later that I figured out that electrical meant that it had a remote control, and you could try and set it for a temperature, but all of the reviews were like, the temperature's like, do you want it to be cold or cool or airflow? And it's like, well, I can do that with the knob anyway, and it's just out of arm reach as I sit here at my desk. So it's not like it's set someplace I can't just easily flip a switch.
Mine's out of arm's reach, so I have a remote control, so I can just click it and keep clicking it. Can you hear the beeping?
I can hear the beeping, yeah.
That's right. It's all the way over there.
But, other than that, it's been a whack of Lego again.
Yeah.
Shock.
Yeah. Yeah. Went to the Lego store with my brother, who wanted to really go see the Lego store, brother and his girlfriend, and went and bought myself the mini modular set, which is 5 of the city center builds or town square builds. I forget exactly what Lego calls them. I think there's a lot of different fan names for it. But it's like the big $150, $200 sets shrunk down a little bitty. And holy crap, for $75, $80, it is one heck of a set. You use a lot of pieces in ways that you didn't think that they could be used to make them look different.
Hmm.
There's a piece that's like a little, I think it was originally like a dinosaur toothpiece or a dragon toothpiece, that when you take it and you turn it sideways and you look at the bottom of it, it looks like a window with an arch over top of it. That one of the sets had like 5 of them. So there are these 5 dinosaur teeth that in that scale are windows. And it's a bunch of just crazy building like that. Somebody earned their money working on the designs of these.
Hmm.
For sure, for sure. Also picked up a bunch of the Avengers. I got the Loki's Escape, which is the 4-wheel drive truck that comes with Loki and Hawkeye and the Mark VI Iron Man. Got the Cap's motorcycle, which is Cap and a couple of the the Chitauri dudes. And then also got the Quinjet, which is the larger set that comes with the Black Widow, another Loki, Thor, and the Mark VII Iron Man.
Now, I recall the Quinjet box being pretty expensive when I saw it at Toys R Us. But you bought like 17 Lego sets.
And so, it's better priced. Toys R Us is notorious for marking up their Lego.
Hmm.
I think the Quinjet was like $14 more at Toys R Us than it was at Walmart. Because basically I got had I bought the Quinjet at Toys R Us, I paid as much as I would have when I bought the Quinjet and Cap's motorcycle at Walmart. So don't go to Toys R Us to buy your Lego.
Noted. But sometimes it's on sale there.
Yeah, when it's on sale there, it's about the same price as it is everywhere else.
Mm.
But the Quinjet had some other fun features in it. Just, a whole lot of building things kind of in odd ways that end up working to do something completely different than what you think it do. The Quinjet in the middle of it has a sliding bit to like drop a drone out of it. So there's a little button on the top of it that pushes a sequence of like Technics bricks down through the middle of it that drops this rack piece. And then there's the little drone that it shows on the box that comes out of it. It's fun, fun build.
Have you considered changing your name to Zach?
No. Why would I?
Then you would be a Lego maniac.
I get it.
Why did I ask?
Why did you ask?
Yeah. The only other Lego thing is a whole lot of minifigs. Cleopatra, Gladiator, Buckingham Palace Guards, the Sherlock Holmes looking investigator, I think is what they called him. A gangster with a violin case that you open up and then he's got a pistol inside of it.
What?
Yeah. There's a Black Knight, a Celtic Warrior, a classic alien, a Godzilla suit guy, something else. There's a store locally that has two huge bins full of the Series 5 minifigs, and they put them on basically clearance price for $1.50 each. So I just went through and felt out what I wanted out of those, and there are many that are very easy to tell. Oh, I also got a boxer. That was the other one out of that set that I picked up, and the cave girl. I actually have one of the pack-in sheets here. So they're fun, and it's like, hey, I want a little Lego dude while I'm out toy hunting because I'm not finding crap for new Transformers, so I'll spend $3 and get a little Lego dude and feel better about myself because I'm buying toys.
Man, I cannot get on that train. I'm sorry.
I totally understand.
I'm watching all of you, and I'm just sitting there going, like, this is a horrible thing that would happen to me. Not to say it's a horrible thing happening to you, but if it happened to me, it would be terrible. So,
it would just be over the top.
Yeah, especially because I have nowhere to put Lego. Because, like, I'm someone who's not as into the idea of building it than breaking it down again.
Mm-hmm.
When I build it, I want it to stay built for a while. And when Lego gets built, considering that it's not highly durable, it needs space around it.
Yeah.
So that makes every Lego thing bigger than it actually is in terms of storage. So I have two Lego kits under my bed.
Yeah.
They're both UFO kits. I don't know when I'm going to build them, but for now, that's my Lego.
Yeah. Although the one thing that then was really neat out of that trip was my brother was hemming and hawing over some of the Technics sets. And he ended up, he kept coming back and looking at this. It was like a sports car build that the alternate build was like an old hot rod, like a chop top hot rod.
Mm-hmm.
And he was hemming and hawing. He was, okay, I'll buy that. So then we get home and I'm building my mini modulars. And so then he's building that and he's 8 or 10 steps into it. He's like, I think I'm building a transmission. He goes a few more steps. He goes, I'm building a 3-shaft transmission. Look, it's holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. So he starts getting like excited and he's sitting there bouncing as he's building and then built a little gear shift that goes on top of it all that runs it through first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear. And it had different power output shafts to send it. It didn't send power to the wheels, but it had gearing set in there so that you could move things around and do that. But then it was like it would open and close the hood, the doors, move the roof, and do something else depending on if you put it first, second, third, or fourth. And so he's to show that to me before he does this other build so that he can feel like it was all justified.
It's just like powers people shouldn't be meddling in levels of complexity.
Yeah.
Here.
Well, then it was like because I told you guys the story about him building the differential gear, right?
I forget.
The roommate got the Lego Mindstorm set that had a whole lot of gears and beams and the like, and my brother was challenged because he's a very mechanical guy to build a differential gear, which is, if you know what a differential gear is, it's the block that's by the rear axle of your car so that when one side spins faster than the other, it doesn't lock everything up. It allows power to shift to where it needs to go. So it's a rather complex little gearing system that he was sitting there looking, thinking, hey, I think I've got enough pieces here to build this. And so he kind of did a brute force build of it. And then in the process of going through all of these parts, he realized that there is a much smaller, much more compact way of doing it where it's four bricks and not this whole giant assembly. And so he also got super excited as he found that piece. And then it was like dealing with, and I love my brother dearly. He's 25 and it was like, he was like a 5-year-old discovering something. He's like, look, it's the differential piece. Like, you know, that yeah. whole giant assembly that I built. Yeah. That whole giant assembly that I built last week. Do you remember that? Yes, I remember that. Well, one piece. Like, are you happy that we went to the Lego store now? Uh-huh. Do you want to get back to building your Legos? Uh-huh. Okay, why don't you do that? Uh-huh.
That sounds like me when I discover something I find exciting.
And the whole time his girlfriend is just kind of shaking her head slowly. It's like, why did I let you take us there? I'm like, well, I paid for dinner. She goes, yeah, you did, but now I have to deal with this. I'm like, you have to deal with this. We're having fun with Legos. Yeah.
What's she got to deal with? She's got to deal with a guy who's excited about bricks.
Yeah. So she ended up getting a couple of the smaller creator kits that are more like the model type of kits, not like mm-hmm. they're the creator kits that are like the houses and whatnot that are static models.
The black boxes. Yeah.
And so she enjoyed her little build on that while my brother and I were doing these more technically concerned pieces, but it was a good trip. If you got a Lego store nearby you and you enjoy Lego, go check it out.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You can't tell me what to do.
Do you not like fun?
I love fun.
Well, then you should go check out a Lego store.
I did, and then I literally fled.
Because you don't like fun?
No.
You don't enjoy it? You have no joie de vivre?
I have a Viacon. That's all I need. Look.
This week, what'll happen next week?
Next week is a new journey that we don't know about until it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I can pull. Now his whole car just opened up and there's a man folded up inside. Can your Lego do that?
If you build it right.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Build it right.
Was that supposed to be a comeback?
Listen, I'm going to let
your face isn't built right. How are we supposed to respond with this?
Whoa. Okay, this is getting a little bit too personal for my liking. I think we should let this blow past, all right?
Okay.
Let hostilities blow over. Stop trying to sell me on friggin' Lego by talking about it. Are you thinking you're going to go back to the Lego store sometime in the next 2 weeks?
I can if there's something that you're looking for.
It's not what I was asking.
Okay. On the trip, I also did pick up a Lego set for Gerardimus. That's the Lego store truck, where it's a semi-truck that has, that's a full-size, like, big rig. That then part of the what he's hauling is the boxes that would go to a Lego store, including the box of the kit that you just built.
That's just not right. That's not how anyone...
So it's like circular Lego.
No, that's not allowed. That's no... No.
It's meta Lego. See? I'm working it now, aren't I?
I don't accept this reality. I do not.
It's reality, whether you accept it or not. It is what it is.
I say thee nay.
And then also got a... for the roommate, he was looking for a specific jet that they no longer carried in stores, but Lego stores still had. So I got that for him. And he was giving me a hard time about something or other on Twitter as we were driving home. And then I took a picture of that and said, do I need to turn around and take this back to the store? And then I got a very sheepish no. So what do we say? Saw we. Okay. It's nice to see a grown-ass man can act like a 3-year-old on Twitter. But all right.
I act like a 3-year-old on Twitter, but I never make claims to be a grown-ass man.
Yeah. But that's the long and short of my toy adventures, I believe.
Lego is the long and short of your toy adventures.
Hey, you know, it's all good, clean, honest fun, and it's something that I believe is very accessible.
You know what else is really accessible? Bath salts. I'm just saying.
Well, the laws are coming down hard and fast on that one, so.
Yeah, but how many more people are going to start going out and eating people before the catch-up happens on that? I'm trying to relate this to Lego somehow.
Yeah, it's someone else do me not working.
Someone else do the work for me. All right, well, if that's all the what you got this week, then, Omegas, I have a suspicion that you got some stuff this week.
Yeah. Quite a bit of it, actually.
Was it Lego?
No.
You're allowed to talk about it.
Doing it wrong.
Look, I didn't run into any colorful bricks this week, okay? Simple as that.
I didn't run into any either, but I keep hearing from them.
Yeah.
No, everything I ran into was at an anime convention, so it's all, like, ludicrously off-topic.
Oh, man. Anime Lego.
There's no anime Lego.
Good.
Yeah, there kind of is.
You just... Listen, it's not your turn.
You're saying falsehoods that aren't quite.
I want to hear about the Metrocon Hall of non-Lego that I don't want to go out and buy. I can't, because it was at a convention.
Okay, there's two things that were non-Lego and non-Metrocon, so I will begin with those.
Right.
For starters... Yeah, the Steam thing that everyone warned me about continues to be a drip, drip, drip in my wallet. So for five bucks, I've been playing L.A. Noire lately.
I need to get that game.
It's Grand Theft Auto and Phoenix Wright. It's weird. I'm quickly finding out I make a terrible 1940s detective.
Well, on the bright side, as far as I understand, that game does not have any ability to be in a losing condition. You just kind of...
Yeah, there is no lose state. You just don't...
You finish cases really poorly. Winning.
Yeah.
But still. It's a fun game. It's Phoenix Wright if you get to run around and shoot perps instead of just, you know, pointing at them.
Mm-hmm.
And objecting.
Yeah. You object with a gun. It's much quicker.
I object to you.
Okay, and the one bit of toy I got this week that did not come from Metrocon was the Super Drill Switch.
I forgot that came out.
It's kind of getting frustrating. It's every time I have one of these big electronic switches come in, I think, I'm done. That's it. They aren't making any more. And then next day, we're doing one more.
Yeah. And look forward to another one from the movie.
Yeah. I saw it.
Have a good time with that.
Never getting away.
Nope.
Now, it's a neat little switch. It's basically the same as Super Rocket, like right down to the hidden like super sound effect.
Mm-hmm.
And except it's more of a percussion type music associate with it, which I wouldn't expect from a drill, but it kind of works.
I played the drums on a drill once.
Uh-huh.
That's why my hands are fake. What?
Hmm?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so moving on, anime stuff, or faux anime stuff, because barely any of this came from an anime. First thing on my list was a CD I picked up there. By one Takayoshi Tanimoto.
That sounds like an Asian gentleman.
It was. For the Kamen Rider people, for Kamen Rider people, he sung a Fize theme. He sung the Geki Ranger opening. Mm-hmm. Transformers people, it was the Super Link ending.
Hey!
He's all over the place, and I am a fan of his music, and he was there to perform. So as long as he was there to perform... yeah, expensive trip. So I gave him money.
Excellent.
Actually, I gave his agent money, and his agent gave me this CD with a few songs on it that are really nice.
Was his agent pretty cool?
Yeah.
right.
Quiet guy. Hmm. Just pushing off things that, you know, your usual, like, towels and t-shirts with a guy's face and name on them. I was like, no, I'm not a fangirl.
I want a towel with his face on it. That'd be so weird.
Yeah.
So many bad thoughts come to mind with that. No.
No.
Starting to run into body pillow territory and...
Yeah.
We all know how BotCon turned out.
I want a Lego body pillow.
God. They have Lego plushes. They sell them in stores. It's a little minifig, dude.
That's not a body pillow.
It's a start.
People, you Lego people freak me out.
Yeah.
I picked up my first Gundam markers, though I've not had a call to use them just yet.
Hmm. Those must not have been hard to come by at an anime show.
Only one booth had them.
Really?
Strangely enough. Yeah, but it was one that's just, like, specialized in Gundam models.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everyone else had, like, a lot of models, but, you know, there's a lot of anime figures, too.
They're the easiest sale to make, because all you gotta do, you sell anything, and you say, hey, why don't you buy this liner pen to make it look better?
Right.
Yeah. Marker?
Yeah, look. Mm. No paintbrush.
Here, $2, liner pen, because liner pens are, you know, like 50 cents to manufacture. Here, liner pen, $2.
Oh, they
make your toy look better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they were charging, like, $4 a pop.
Yeah.
But no shipping.
Because they have the funny writing on them, so they're an import, so they're...
The funny writing.
Funny writing.
I'm just telling you the normal mindset of somebody that's selling this stuff. Yeah, they're import.
Yeah. Okay, moving on from that. I mentioned this in videos. I think I mentioned this the last time I was at a convention. There's a little website called Sanshi that does, like, little pop culture nerd reference things, and one of the things they do are the old Pokemon badges.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I had generation 1 through 4, went ahead and picked up number 5. And while I was there, they do this brilliant thing, which are a little PVC pin-on Zelda heart containers.
Now, the thing that I noticed about that Sanshi stuff that got my attention was the things they do in PVC. You'd mentioned they were very precisely cut different colors of PVC, then glued together into a flat shape.
Right.
That sounds like, in a tactile sense, that would be a really interesting, like, medium. And
yeah.
Like, I'm not into Pokemon badges at all, but the construction of them sounded, like, really interesting to me.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, it's really this different level of detail than you would expect, because not only does the PVC keep the look from, like, the anime, it looks like it came right out of a cartoon. All those little grooves and lines adds this little bit of depth to it that it really needs.
And it sounds like it would also be, like, severely durable as well.
Oh, yeah. You bend, drop, you know, they don't go anywhere. They're perfectly fine. The metal, like, I've got 2 sets of them in metal now, and those are more prone to chipping and peeling and such.
Hmm.
But the PVC ones are just, they're never going anywhere.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really into the topic material of it, but the actual construction of that Sanshi stuff looked like it was really good.
Yeah, they're good people. I like talking to them when I'm at a con. On to actual toys.
Mm-hmm.
Since it was there, and since I promised myself some kind of anime girl figurine, I decided to go for the Ryobone panty.
Excellent.
She has a swappable crotch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I personally think she turned out better than stocking.
Yeah, but I need to pick up stocking now.
Oh, you do.
I can't have just one.
Well,
but she's a nice figure, though. I mean, first experience for a company, and it's been a good one so far.
You can just have one if you pretend you're in the 2-month period when she was the only one that was out.
But there's more than one in the show, so it kind of... I kind of need both.
Well, I'm glad that, like, it sounds like it was a good experience for you. Because, yeah, that was a great debut figure, as far as I know, to mess with that I've seen in a while.
Oh, like, yeah.
It turned out really well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's a good quality figure. There's a lot of little attention to detail. Like, removable earrings for the swappable faces. That was a nice touch. It's a very nice figure. Like, I'm looking forward to picking up stocking.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it counts as an anime figure. I picked up the Figuard Vegeta.
My immediate reaction to that was to say Vegeta in that voice, but I'm not gonna.
That joke's dead. Yes, it is.
That joke is dead, so I'm gonna leave it over there. How is he? Like, I heard the Figure Arts Dragon Ball figures have gotten better.
Yeah, because I had Goku before, and the however he was jointed or engineered completely put me off. Ended up just selling him off and never looked back. I got Gohan, and that was a lot better. I think Vegeta kind of benefits the most because he's in a bodysuit, and they're not trying to work around folds in clothing.
Okay.
But yeah, he's a fantastic figure.
Hmm.
Very articulate, very spot on to the animation.
What color is his hair?
It's multiple shades of, like, yellow and gold. It kind of does that. They have this thing on the Super Saiyan hair where it's just kind of like flowing energies look to it. So it kind of retains that style of aesthetic.
Can you tell if it was a Bluefin release or not?
It was.
Okay.
There was the little stick on American warnings on the bottom. Yeah.
So it should be easily acquirable in some way for domestics.
Yeah, hopefully, because it really wasn't all that more expensive than any of the actual figure arts that I saw there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember, was that Vegeta also like a Tamashii exclusive in Japan?
I want to say yes, because it does come in the cardboard mailer. Because
I recall that was one of the big first wins Bluefin had, was that for the Dragon Ball figures, they were getting them all as mass release for North America, whereas a lot of them were ending up as web exclusives in Japan because DBZ ain't as big over there anymore as it is over here or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, apparently they do better in the U.S. than they do in Japan.
Yeah.
Which is kind of odd, but I'll take it because we're getting Cell next.
Yeah, I saw that Perfect Cell or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I have no idea who he is, but I still remember I saw him in an EGM, like, years ago. In a Dragon Ball Z, like, Super Nintendo game, and they had a picture of him, and I thought he looked cool. And I realized later in life it's because he's a giant bug man. So,
Here we go again.
I kind of want to get him, even though I have no idea who he is. And I know, like, anyone listening right now, 4 out of 7 of you could probably tell me exactly who he is. But I don't really care. He looks cool.
Well, the good news is that he's a very smooth-bodied character, so he should translate well to a figure art.
Excellent.
He's also quite tall, too.
Yeah, that's why I'm interested in him, because maybe he'll end up being, like, Ultimate Kuga tall.
Hmm.
That was a satisfying figure.
So, moving on, I got a figure art's Ultimate Kuga.
But, well, I'm checking out. All right. That's too much. That's too creepy. Okay, hi. What's going on?
The cool thing about the con was that there were a lot of Kamen Rider stuff.
Mm.
Like, I felt bad because someone asked me, do they sell Kamen Rider stuff there? I was like, not. There's one booth one year, but not really. And this year, there's like 3 booths and like dozens of figure arts. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, that happened. So, yeah.
Growing popularity of a franchise online is probably how it ended up happening.
Yes, there was a bunch of Tiger and Bunny figure arts there too, which made me laugh because I remember how hard they were to get when they first came out.
They're all on HLJ now. Like
every one of them.
Yeah. I'm just sitting there, like, my mouth was open when I went on HLJ just to look for fun to see if, like, you know, I was like, oh, I wonder if they got any. They're all sitting there. And I'm like, huh?
So, yeah, Ultimate Kuga. Very awesome. I love the design on him.
Yeah.
That was cool. You know, a lot of hands.
Mm-hmm. But
what else is he going to come with?
He's such a solid figure. I remember years ago, and I kind of maintain it. I think he's one of the best and less hard to find, like, first figure arts to buy. Like, even if you don't know who he is, his design is just really cool. And as a toy, he's well done. So
right.
I was recommending him to a lot of people. They're just like, I want a figure art. I'm like, get Ultimate Kuga. Because he's ultimate.
Right. And the other one I picked up was Fize.
I like that one.
I like that one too. Strangely enough, mine's got probably some of the loosest joints I've seen on a figure art. Like, not so much it's part leprosy or anything, but
yeah,
he can hold his poses. That's all that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's a nice one too. I love how much variety there is in his accessories. Like, they covered pretty much any interpretation of his blaster that they could. So that's the figure arts. For some reason, one of the booths that I see there, and I see it there every year, because it's loaded with the same Dragon Ball Z figurines every single year I go. This year, for some reason, on one corner of his enormous table, he has a bunch of Kamen Rider Agito stuff.
Huh.
And what got my attention were these 11-inch tall like Rider Kick standees for Agito and Gills.
Mm-hmm.
So they came home with me.
Oh, I have one of those Rider Kick display things. My most viewed video on YouTube for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. Still. I mean, I'll triple check. But are they like their fixed pose? Are they Ben Presto?
I don't know. They weren't boxed or anything.
I bet you they're Ben Presto.
Probably. Yeah, it's simple enough. They're stands with Agito and Gills doing the Rider Kicks.
Mm.
Which just confuses people who don't know who Gills is, because I've already been asked, why is he showing his crotch?
So he can cut fools with the back of his foot, that's why. Okay, I was wrong. It used to be the most viewed, now it's the third most viewed video I did.
What are number one and two?
The Popanika Riot Shooter remains number one, and then somehow the first V-build ended up as number two.
Hmm.
That's surprising. Anyway, yeah, kick Funny pose how these display stuff.
Kick pose display, they are nice.
Videos of them apparently go over well.
I think little novelties like that that are quick to view opinions on tend to get that kind of reaction.
Yeah. Weird.
As long as they were there, because the guy also had a big stack of them. They had the Sofubis, the vinyl Rider Hero figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I never picked one up, so I decided, okay, for $8, it's worth having an opinion on. Of course, those words that get me in trouble more than anything.
I need to know how it works. I need to know. I need to know what it's
just
like.
Just need to know how they are.
I just need to know, that's all.
Yeah. So I picked up an Agito Trinity in that style.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy anything Agito Trinity. It's okay.
Is it perhaps a vinyl man whose arms swing forward and back?
It is.
Aha!
It is.
Gasp!
And his waist moves a little bit, though it feels like it doesn't really want to.
$8 to confirm. Yeah, it's because it's an oval. It's kind of like it's like an oval socket, so it's
right.
If it was round, it would work. But
right, he's hollow, and I didn't expect him to be hollow.
Oh, there used to be a metal jointed figure you could buy, meant to be a doll body, like a really well jointed metal like skeleton. Mm-hmm. People would buy that. They'd buy those soft bees, then they'd cut them up into armor to put on top of the skeleton, and then put a black bodysuit between the two. And they basically make these really well-done Rider Hero-scaled posable figures.
Wow. That's dedication.
Yeah, that happened all the time before Figure Arts came out. It was really popular for a while.
Well, if you find them cheap and you just want something to display the Rider, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're good representations of the Rider, but representations only.
Mm-hmm.
See what else came next. Something that was definitely from Ban Presto. More Agito. These set of five minifigures. Like motion revive scale.
Yeah.
So it was the three Agitos, Ground, Storm, and Flame.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gills and G3.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Flame, unfortunately, has the worst part leprosy I've ever seen in a figure.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, his knee and his arm do not want to stay on for anything.
Glue him. Show him who's boss.
See, I really don't want to glue him, because what surprised me is these have some level of articulation to them.
Oh. Lightly glue him.
it's neat to put in. It's I don't know. These are like $4 a pop.
Yeah.
Of course, you get them on eBay for like $5, and then whatever shipping's going to be. But it's nice just to be able to put them in with the motion revives and make it look like that scale's a little bit more filled out.
Yeah, I missed that scale.
Yeah, I know they did figures like that for Fize, and I think Blade got one too before the last wave of motion revives did Blade as well.
Yeah.
So I kind of need to track that Fize and Blade down so I can kind of at least have the 9 main ones lined up.
Yeah. They're tricky to find, is all I'm going to say.
I heard. I know. But these guys are neat to find. See, because he had it, and because I'll buy anything of this guy, there's a stronger keychain that's mine now.
Hooray!
Giant head even for him. Like, light up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What was funny about it is I picked that up, and the guy running the booth said, "Oh, stronger, that's my favorite."
Oh.
Really?
Hmm.
I've known you for 5 years, and we have the same favorite writer? Whoa.
You should have said, "Oh, stronger, that's my favorite Power Ranger."
No. I'm not going to troll the guy I see every year.
I would.
Something else he put out in this, like, the last writer thing I picked up. Because I've gone overkill at this point. He put out these old Band Presto digital watches. Designed like the Showa belts.
Huh.
So I have an Ichigo belt that wraps around my wrist.
Hooray! So your wrist can turn into a man.
Yes, exactly. Sad thing is, I can't actually get the battery case off on the back to actually put a working battery in it.
Hmm.
Straps are in the way, and I can't figure out how to get them off.
Hmm.
So it's neat to have a little rider belt. I'll figure out something to do with it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Another thing that you mentioned previously that I thought was weird to bring up, I picked up a Macross while I was there.
Oh. Are you entering the world of Macross?
I'm not entering the world of Macross so much as I am kind of healing damage from conventions past. I want to say it was like 3 or 4 years ago when I saw this thing at MetroCon for the first time. And it was on the last day when I couldn't afford the $40 they wanted for it.
Mm.
And really regretted it since, because at the time it didn't have a G1 Jetfire, so I never experienced a Macross design before.
Yeah.
So, okay, this year, same booth, has it up again, and now it's like half the price. Okay, it's a $20 Macross. What the hell am I going to do?
I'd buy it for $20.
Yeah. So I own a Fire Valkyrie now.
I'd buy a Macross for $20.
This thing is an awesome toy.
That's the old Bandai DX, right?
I don't know. I don't know Macross in the least.
The main question being if the box says Bandai or not, pretty much.
Well, I don't have the box near here.
Oh.
So I cannot answer your question.
No!
Either way, it is quite cool. I mean, Macrosses are kind of one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
They're all jets, and they all have similar design transformations. I really do like how this one kind of forms together, though.
Mm-hmm.
So that is nice, and it is very cool in both modes.
I like the Fire Valkyrie design. He's the crazy guy who fights with music. Bazara. Well,
I'm not sure how he... that would explain a lot, because I'm not sure how he fights with his gun. The handle... like. The back of the gun is so long he can't even hold the thing because it starts hitting his shoulder armor.
Oh yeah, he doesn't shoot bullets with that gun. He shoots like little speakers that drill into the enemy fighter plane so he can play his music at them and make them stop fighting.
Well, first I'd have to figure out how to get it into his hand because it doesn't want to fit.
Hmm. I know this guy who's into Macross who could help you out. His name's Dan.
That's the thing. This rifle just fits in his hands. It's just so freaking long he can't hold it.
I'm sure there's some kind of canonical reason for that. That could be... It's quite a story to tell, but I'm sure someone could tell you, like, the reasoning behind the design.
I have some sort of story time here?
No.
No.
That's just asking for way too much. I can't believe you'd go there, Aaron. That's it's a real Lego collector thing of you to say.
I just want to know if we're going to get story time.
Here we go again.
My hands are okay.
So, lastly.
Hmm.
Lastly, remember that word after I finish this.
Right. You got something else to say after this one.
I hate you.
Why do you have to hate?
My favorite pickup from the convention, I have a plush portal turret.
Oh, I've seen those on ThinkGeek.
ThinkGeek, yeah, that's where they came from. I have one of those as well.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to talk about it. Oh, well, go ahead, talk about it.
It is fun. It is so nice.
Does yours hit sensor work right?
It's finicky. I don't think it's so much that the hit sensor doesn't work. It's just more focused on the motion sensor.
Yeah.
Because it'll detect the motion of going down or shaking it rather than the fact that it's being hit.
Yeah. I had to do some minor surgery on mine because the threads to the battery pack were stripped.
Ooh.
So I had to kind of break into that to put batteries in it. So I wasn't sure if I had damaged something or if it's just finicky.
No, it's just finicky. It doesn't really, it can't really tell whether it's lying down or standing up.
Upright, yeah. Okay.
But, for those who have never experienced, it's got the motion sensor, it's got the light in the front. It has the audio from the game, 5 quotes when it's standing, and you can knock it over and make 5 quotes when it's lying down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, lovely.
It avoids the more depressing ones, which I thought was nice of it.
Oh, I was hoping for the really kind of sad, depressed, messed up ones.
Why?
Why?
I don't think that would go over well in a plush toy.
Oh, it would be wonderful. Little depressing plush toy, come on.
They were selling little desktop versions that were like completely game accurate. I didn't get to hear if they did that too.
Hmm.
Of course, they wanted like $25 for the little desk version, and it's like really tiny. I want to say 3 to 4 inches tall at most.
Yeah.
And for $50, I can have this full size, probably not full size, but this very large plush turret that I can actually knock over and not break.
And for a lot more than that, you can get a statue of a turret that doesn't make any noise.
I saw that, and the sad thing was, I was going for the pre-order on the talking one until someone told me, no, it's sold out already. Why'd you even show it to me then? And I know he's listening to this podcast. Why did you show me that?
Yeah, you jerk.
I'm happy with this one. I need a good place to set it where it will scare people coming into my room.
Hmm.
Yeah, found out the dogs don't like motion sensors so much.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why.
I just put it next to the door, and they came up to go to bed one night, and it was dispensing product. And Andy was just like, what? I don't. Kind of sneaks around the side of it and then just sat there and stared at it for a while.
You're new.
Yeah, I don't like noise-making thing. Yeah, he's not real fond of the air conditioner either, because it makes noise and blows air, and both of which are things he's not real fond of.
I think that's just animal instinct, is when it hears a noise, a loud noise it's not familiar with, it immediately thinks it's going to get eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
The last two dogs we've have had the same thing with thunderstorms. I'm like, we're in Florida.
Yeah.
You've heard this a lot.
I like thunderstorms. Right. Sounds like you had a successful MetroCon then.
I did.
Huh. Did you end the success by getting anything else?
I did get one other little thing.
Oh, really?
Screw you.
Oh, that's no good.
That sounds like a great thing.
You think it's a great thing.
No, I will end on a minor note. Over at MetroCon, they do the AMV contest every year, and I won with a Kamen Rider entry.
Congratulations!
Nice.
I didn't even mean to win. I was just wanting to expose about 1,500 geeks to Tokusatsu.
Ah.
No, and I get a little piece of paper that says, Best Live Action Video, with my name.
I want to try to win the AMV contest at TFCon. My secret is that they're not actually having one, which means I'll be the only entry. So I know I'm going to win.
Oh, that's sneaky.
But you'll also get last place as well.
Nope. I'm only going to get first place. One of one. The first. Who I will be. All right, well, I guess that's what we got this week, so I guess that is the end of the show for now. That was episode 206. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Aaron and Omegas, for joining me again. If you want to leave us a voicemail, our voicemail inbox phone number on the Google Voice is 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830. I just finished transforming Acid Storm, which means that this is the perfect time for us to step out of the norm. We're going to put a sock on the door of our dorm and get us bunch of... I don't know how to end that. So, thank you all, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you, gents.
You're welcome.
I am.
But you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.